The three best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the news junkie for a Thursday, July 19th, 2018. Lots to get to today. From a controversial eviction notice goes viral to the most shocking BBC documentary I've ever seen, and how to get free food for the rest of the year, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lev.
Hello.
Lots going on today. Lots to get to. Spent some time last night watching, finally, I've been meaning to get to this for a couple of days now, but finally that Robin Williams documentary.
Oh, how was it?
It was really, really good.
What was it called again?
It's called Come Inside My Mind,
what?
Which always... spins me around a little bit.
That seems sticky.
Come Inside My Mind is the name of the Robin Williams documentary on HBO.
That just means they want you to be as much in the metaphysical as the physical.
I believe so. That's the goal that they have here. It looked fantastic. And honestly, some of the best documentary stuff put together by the HBO team. And this is certainly one of their better ones, I think, in a while. And so I love documentaries. You hear me talking about them on the show all the time. But this was particularly good, I thought. And not only that, it was one of those ones where they didn't dwell too much on the really bad stuff.
Like the alcoholism.
Now, they touched that, and they touched the drug abuse, and they touched those. But they didn't, like, focus on the suicide and make that a big, giant thing. It was just, you got to that point, you saw a little bit of emotion, people chimed in about what they thought about, and then they moved on. Like, they didn't try to show a photo of his dead body or...
Did that ever get released? I know there was a fake image going around.
Yeah, I didn't see one. I don't remember seeing one from Robin Williams. There's obviously one out there somewhere, but I don't know if it's been leaked or released. And they didn't focus on that or the casket or any of that stuff. They kind of just stayed with his very interesting career. I mean, the trailer sounded great.
Ladies,
if you missed that.
It's time to enter the human mind.
Stand up is survival.
Really well put together.
Jazz. That's what I have to do.
Robin was like nothing I'd ever seen.
He stood out in a way that nobody else did.
I don't tell jokes. I just use characters as a vehicle for me.
Esmeralda, why do you only visit on certain days?
So one very important thing, they had some awesome footage. They had a lot of never before seen stuff. And the key thing, they had an interview with Robin Williams where he wasn't doing all the character stuff. He was just being serious and talking and answering questions, and that was the narration for the entire video.
On stage, he was the master.
If you look at a platypus, I think you might think that God might be stoned.
The gods up there in heaven going, okay, let's take a beaver, let's put on a duck's bill, okay?
I miss him so much.
He was really comfortable on stage. Off stage, I just felt he was holding himself together.
Now bring it down. They all work like this.
Early in life, did you have a fear of abandonment?
Oh, yeah. It's a primal fear for any child. And it dictates a lot of how you deal with life.
He was always looking for a connection.
It was a need to communicate and be funny.
There was one scene I'll tell you about in just a second that was probably the most unexpected thing I've ever seen in a documentary. And I think most people who watch this will go, whoa! Okay, didn't see that coming. I'll tell you in a second. Hang on.
Every person is driven by some deep secret.
Robin was doing drugs.
There was fear sometimes to run away from it all, sometimes to run into it all.
There you are. You've become a reformed alcoholic. You've got a steaming glass of Perrier going, I feel so much better about myself.
My father didn't always feel he was succeeding. But he is the most successful person I know.
His son was great, too. Bring it up at the end, baby.
He made all the people laugh and laugh and laugh.
He called me, leaving messages on my phone.
It's Robin. I'm giving you love. Bye.
It's a tie with three people.
Yeah. Pretty much said, f*** you, Robin.
Come on now.
You only give him the little spark of madness. And if you lose that, nothing.
It was absolutely fantastic.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry. There was a lot of emotional parts and a lot of people that chimed in. There were so many big celebrity names that were involved, and Billy Crystal and Of course, you had David Letterman, who was very close to him. But there was one scene in particular. So I guess he's filming this movie. And I realized going through this, how many of these Robin Williams movies that I've never seen. I've seen Miss Doubtfire. You know, I've seen the big ones.
Hello.
But he has a whole swath of movies that I never watched. And I guess just didn't look that interesting to me. One of them that he filmed sort of later on in his life, there was this pool scene. And the pool scene was supposed to be shot where he comes out and he strips down to his underwear and he climbs up onto the high dive and then Robin Williams just dives into the pool. And this was after his heart surgery and all that stuff. So it was kind of a cathartic moment for him. So they show the footage of what really happened in that scene. And he surprised the director, who was Bobcat Goldthwait. And he surprised him by coming out completely nude and jumping into the pool.
Oh.
And they showed Robin Williams' dong in all its glory
and
in this documentary. And the whole thing afterwards was Bobcat Goldthwait going, how are you ever nervous? I mean, just a swinging thing in the wind, man. Just Robin Williams was rocking it.
Robin's dang-a-lang.
And they showed it. And I go, wow, okay. I was not expecting that to make a feature presentation in this film here. But
did it get credit at the end?
I don't know if they put Robin Williams' penis in the credits. It scrolled by so fast. It was very hard to see. But it was good. It was worth watching. Not the penis, but the documentary. And I'd encourage you to check that out on HBO if you have it.
What was it called again? I'm sorry?
It was called Come Inside My Mind, the Robin Williams documentary that they just uploaded, I think, like early this week or so. Maybe at the end of last week. But good. Worth a watch. You'll love it. The death of Steve Irwin was one of those crazy moments in news where I remember, and I go, God, what a weird thing. How bizarre that this is just kind of happened in the way that it did. And Steve Irwin just seemed like one of those guys, like nicest guy in the world, would never hurt anybody. So wholesome. That's the wholesome meme. And Steve Irwin deserved every bit of that. It's coming up. I don't know if it was. Can you look up when exactly he died? Because I think we're on the anniversary. Like we're on one of the anniversaries of Steve Irwin's death, or maybe it was yesterday.
It
had to be around now because they're interviewing his wife, Terry Irwin.
September 4th.
Was it really?
2006.
Maybe, I guess, because it's coming up soon, but they just had this interview with Terry Irwin talking about this. And for the first time, she really opened up about the moment when she heard that Steve Irwin had died. And I might as well get this sappy stuff out of the way.
It was like, what do I do next? So I kind of collected my thoughts, and then I had to go out to the car and tell Bindi and Robert, which was really hard.
Oh, that sucks.
And they'd, somebody had arranged a plane, so we didn't have to fly commercially.
That's good.
And I remember thinking, I have to drive myself. So I got in the car and they said, we'll drive you to the airport. And I said, no. So I drove myself, got in the plane,
all right,
and went home.
All right, there it is. Enough of the sappy stuff.
My God, king
of the show.
Yeah. Really tough to hear.
Yeah, she was. This was the first time she really opened up about that stuff. So that clip was floating around. Let's get to some of the newer things and what's happening in the world. Of course, you've got the Trump and Russia stuff. We might as well get that out of the way. There was this press conference yesterday, and though the audio doesn't highlight it, the video, I think, vindicates what people are saying about it. You see the president, you see one of the reporters going, is, you know, Russia still targeting the U.S.? And he mouths no, no a couple of times, and then he actually says very lightly no, looking at this reporter, and then that came up soon.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
President,
thank you.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S.? Is Russia still targeting the U.S., Mr. President?
Thank you.
Press, let's go.
Much.
Make your way out.
No. No.
Let's go. We're finished here.
I like how they try to get the reporters out of the room.
Much. Come on, let's go.
Come on, everybody.
Out. We're doing very well.
We're finished here.
We are doing very well, and we're doing very well.
Listen to the wrangler after this. Because she goes, oh, I got to stop because President Trump is talking again.
Exactly. But I feel like she was getting everybody out, but kind of subconsciously telling Trump to stop talking.
She goes, all right, everybody out. And he starts talking again. And now, all right,
well,
let's calm down.
Anybody has ever done with Russia. And there's been no president ever as tough as I have been on Russia. All you have to do is look at the numbers, look at what we've done.
Now the regular gets serious.
Look at ambassadors not there. Look, unfortunately, at what happened in Syria recently. And I think President Putin knows that better than anybody, certainly a lot better than the media. He understands it, and he's not happy about it. And he shouldn't be happy about it, because there's never been a president as tough on Russia as I have been.
All right, here she goes.
Thank you very much.
Do you believe Putin when he says he's
moving? We're finished here. Everybody get the hell out. So he said there, when the reporter said, is Russia still targeting the U.S.? No. And let's go forward a little bit in time.
I have two questions for you, and I want to just clarify something you talked about at the beginning of the briefing. So despite the video that shows the president looking at Cecilia and answering no to this question about whether Russia is still targeting the U.S., and despite multiple people in the room understanding that the president was responding to that question, and despite the president having never before said the word no, no repeatedly to usher reporters out of the room, you're saying it's reversed. You're saying the president said, this is
the first thing that the president said after the question was asked was thank you very much, and then he said no, I'm not answering any more questions. And even further, I think even Cecilia didn't realize what the answer was because she asked for clarification and he didn't answer the follow-up.
All right, so this is where we're at now. We're just talking about things that really don't have anything to do with anything serious happening in the world. We're denying obvious things when it's right in front of everybody's face and just treating everybody as if they're a bunch of children. And then we have the media taking part in this like it's some sort of live production and they want to be a part of it. It's all around disaster. So that's fun. We'll move to the brighter side of life when we come back, because your dispatches are on the way from the News Junkie app. And is it the best date ever? Or is it the worst date ever? We'll dive into the details next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
Get into your dispatches in a moment. Plus, was this the best date ever or the worst date ever? The details on the way. I want to try this thing out. You know, we talked yesterday. I guess the company followed up with us about these eggs. What was it called? True Egg? Just Egg?
Just Egg.
Just Egg. I guess they had somebody who was listening to the show and might be able to try that and see what it's like. I think that'll be interesting. But something else I've been thinking about, and I'm not throwing this out there to see if one of these folks is listening and will set us up for free. It'd be fancy if they were, but this whole thing that is starting to get bigger and bigger online, that seems like such a cool idea, called Crowd Cow, keeps popping up in the news. This is so, like, you know, you used to be able to, or you always have been able to, go to these kind of local farms and you can buy a whole damn cow.
Right.
You could buy a whole cow or like a whole pig.
That'd be so awesome.
And then they like package it all up and then you freeze it and you use it as you need. And it probably lasts you a very, very long time.
Oh, I thought you meant a live cow.
You can have the live cow if you wanted, but they operate off of more the meat side of the industry. And this new company popped up called Crowd Cow, where you join in with other people and you pick which cuts you want, and then everybody together buys the cow.
Oh.
And then you don't end up with the stuff that you're not looking for. And they're starting to get more and more funding out there. It's a couple that years ago started this thing. Ethan Lowry and Joe Heitzenberg wanted to ease the process of buying locally sourced beef from small independent ranchers who dedicate their lives to producing healthy, high-quality meats. So they decided to crowdsource a cow. That way you know where it's coming from, you know it's high-end, you got your friends buying what they want, everybody gets what they need, and I imagine it's a little bit cheaper for everybody. See if you can find their website to see how much this costs.
Okay, it might be cheaper at some points because there is something that says steaks from $4.50 per serving. But this pasture-raised chicken looks like a ripoff.
What? It's a whole chicken?
How much do you think a whole chicken costs?
All right, a whole chicken about yay big.
It's all organic, yeah. I imagine.
Yeah, it's fancier. I'm going to say the chicken is $25.
I'm going to go lower. I'm going to say the chicken is $12.
$12.
I'm more siding on with Sabrina, but I'm trying to look up other delis and Publix or yeah. Freshfields to get a more accurate
comparison
number, because this says pasture raised chicken 3-pack. I don't know how
three of them.
Three chickens, for $85.
That doesn't seem that bad.
That's an expensive chicken.
Yeah, that's three of them. You get three whole chickens. You stuff them in a freezer.
That's 4 pound whole chickens. That's for 12.
My problem is I don't know how much they cost regularly.
$7 a pound. That's a little much for chicken.
Yeah, but it's fancy chicken, and they've lived a nice life, so they're peaceful when they are killed, and somehow that makes them taste better, I guess. Science, right? It comes into play there. You can do this now with pigs, with cows, and with chickens, and you can get every piece you want. Like, if you just wanted, like, really fresh, good bacon, you could pop in with a crowdsourcing thing and go, bam, I want the bacon from this one, from this pig.
And they mail it to you as well?
Yeah, bring it right to your house and mail it right to your house, just like some of the other delivery services do. And right to your front door comes what's supposed to be the best damn stuff ever. And all the photos I saw from this crowd cow thing, I'm looking at them going, damn, that looks good, but... You never know. If anybody's ever tried that, send it to dispatch. Let us know how that is.
When you get a rotisserie chicken at a place like Publix.
Costco, Publix.
That is a whole chicken,
yep.
Correct?
Yeah, yeah.
The entire thing.
Uh-huh.
Those are about $7 to $8.
Those are little baby ones, though, sometimes. Let's go to Costco. Costco is a big-ass one, which they're famous for. They sell a boatload of those things.
85 seems steep.
It's already cooked, too, so you got that. Look, we'll see if that catches on even more so than it is now, but there's a lot of attention going to it. To this date in just a second, but let's check in on you on a Thursday. Here is JD with a dispatch.
Good morning, News Monkeys. Hey, I just watched the documentary on Robin Williams last night.
You too.
And I got to tell you, it was... one of the best documentaries I've probably ever seen. It was heartwarming, hilarious, and it'll definitely bring a tear to your eye. So definitely my recommendation for anyone out there, they should definitely go on HBO and watch it. Have a good day. Wiggle, yeah. Wiggle. Pop,
sounds
pop.
Like a commercial now. I'm not going to say it's one of the best I've ever seen. It might be like just outside the top 10, but it was awesome. It was really well put together. And if you care about comedy or you care about Robin Williams, and who the hell didn't like Robin Williams?
Monsters.
God, just animals. And the other day I actually watched, it was funny because when I heard the hello thing, I immediately thought of the old next episode intro. But I went back and watched Miss Doubtfire.
Mm-hmm.
And just on a whim, just sitting there like scrolling through, you know, let's watch this. Still funny as hell.
Still holds up.
Yep, still holds up. Still a bunch of moments where you just die laughing. There wasn't a lot of people that were like, yeah, I don't like him. Other comedians will split audiences. Everybody liked him.
Yeah, and he has been probably part, at least for my life, for example, since I was little with Aladdin,
uh-huh.
All the way until I was an adult. Like, one of the most heartbreaking celebrity deaths, at least that affected me.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity, and I'm very thankful to see him live. Like, I saw him when he was doing a comedy tour, kind of like...
Here or...
Yeah. It was at the Bob Carr.
Really?
Yeah, it was probably 6-7 years ago. And it was like, sit on the couch with Robin Williams. And he just talked. And he got into his life, but then he would get into his bits. And it was fascinating. I mean, such a cool guy where you could be in a room of 1,000 people and you still think he's talking to you.
Oh, man. Yeah, and he draws everybody right in. There is a moment, I don't want to give away too much from that documentary, but there was a moment in it where he was on stage early in his career. And he was at this venue. And it was kind of like crap little venue, but the audience was packed. Everybody was in there. And they're ready to be entertained. They got a couple of drinks on them. And the microphones crap out, like completely break. And there was a couple other famous comedians that were on stage at the time. None of these people were famous yet. And so Robin Williams, without a mic, jumps out in the audience and just starts working the crowd. And they have the footage of it.
Huh.
And he just kills it. Like, just goes out and starts messing with this lady, goes over, starts screwing with this guy, just, like, roasting the audience, being
that's
playful,
awesome.
And makes the most of it. And the other comedians are standing on stage just looking over, and they go to an interview with one of them, and he goes, I didn't know what to do. I can't do any better than that. I don't even know if I can add to this. And so he just kind of sat there. Here's Colombian Papi.
All right, let's see. Every day of the month, I'd be sending dispatches at different times, trying to see what time should I be sending it so it can be played. And so far, nothing yet for a whole month.
Oh, come on.
But anyways,
anyway.
When you guys were talking about C-Lane getting his drone down from the tree with a football, really, does it look like he played with any footballs? And he has a better chance getting it down with, I don't know, a guitar or drums, man.
Wonder why you don't get your stuff
played. He's a nice guy. We love Columbia.
He's right. Trying to take digs at Christopher.
I'll throw a guitar up there. Just throw a guitar up there to get the...
CeeLo might not currently play in an intramural football league, but I'm pretty sure he could throw a football, right?
Let's get the old pigskin out of the office. Just all kidding. Right. We've never had any sports equipment in the office.
Yeah. Of all the things in the office, and there are many weird, bizarre, unpredictable things in the office.
And some of them might have pigskin.
Yeah. But even so, there are...
Actually, technically, I have chicharrones at my desk right now.
There are zero pieces of sports equipment, unless you count ring toss in the world of sports. And judging by ESPN and their summer doldrums... It's getting close, because once again the other night, they had cornhole championships on. The cornhole championships. And these people are so good at cornhole, it's insane.
Yeah, I know. And you think like, hey, maybe it's a slow sports day, it takes a lot of skill, and you end up watching it anyway.
I do watch it. I can't say I don't.
Like curling.
And Johnsonville Bratz has cornered the damn market on advertising for cornhole. It, like they had that thing on the cornhole boards. They're the main blanket advertiser.
You can't spell sausage without USA.
Yeah, they have all kinds of stuff. So the doldrums for sports reporting rolls on. But yeah, I think he could. I would put money that says he could probably hit a drone with a football. Maybe that's money wasted. Here's Shuey.
Hey, News Junkies. I heard your toothbrush ad so many times, I actually knocked all my teeth out. So, God, it hurts. Was a drunken rage.
You guys got to be better today.
I hope you guys are okay.
The bar is set higher than this, and you're just coming in way under it. Here's Travis.
Good morning, News Junkies. Hey. So, I also checked out that Robin Williams biopic documentary, whatever you want to call it. And it was fantastic, really good. I think it was done very well. Good way to remember one of the greatest comedians I've ever known. And Sean, have you talked with Muffin Lady about this certain fascination with Robin Williams' penis and how big it is?
I'm sure they're watching it together.
I think she would be interested to know you're so fascinated with it.
She was the one when I was on the laptop.
Wigga wigga pop pop.
I was doing work and I hear, oh, that's his penis. I go, what?
Whose? Let me see.
I mean, it goes back to...
Give us more wiener!
It's like that all over again, somehow. And we were watching it together. It was fantastic, the movie, not the penis. Here's Dose Cat.
Good morning, News Junkie! And crew. I was just thinking about Donald Trump today. And how everybody says he's a liar. But I'm really thinking about this now. Thinking out of the box. And I'm thinking...
Where are you?
He's... kind of the most truthful. He acts like himself all the time. I mean, yeah, kind of acts like a doofus, but I mean, he tells the truth the most.
There's definitely something
it's
poisonous
like
around
him. Have a few drinks or doing some stuff like that, and there's some like 80s or 90s rock on, and you're making out.
I'm not even listening to him. I'm just sure there's a rattlesnake in the background somewhere.
No, that's like crickets, man.
There's a couple of crickets. There's some other weird animals. That was loud. That sort of reminds me of what it used to be like to go back home. And in fact, I'm going back home this weekend to visit my dad. He's not doing well, but I'm going back there. And I remember when I used to always try to stay the night when I was older. It's so loud. It was just like that. It's dark and there would be no noise because you're out in the middle of nowhere. And when I first moved to the city, and even when I moved here to downtown Orlando with the trains and stuff, I go, oh, my God, some peace and quiet would be nice. And then you get used to the non-peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the peace and quiet becomes too loud. You're like,
yeah, because then you get in your own head. Like, I'm going to die out here.
All these noises. And if I die, then all these crickets are going to probably somehow eat me. I don't know how the whole thing works, but it'll be a problem for sure. A man on a date. Well, he had a couple of things going for him. It's not just any date that leads you into a news story, after all. A Memphis, Tennessee woman says she feels betrayed. She was out on a date enjoying herself, and her date pretended to be enjoying things as well. Right up until the point when her date stole her car and then used her car to go on a date with somebody else.
Oh, man.
The original car owner would make you quite angry. The other person was her god sister. Do you guys have god sisters? God brothers?
No.
Growing up, my uncle was supposed to be my godfather, but we didn't even talk about that much.
I have a godmother. I have a godfather. But I thought that you just get like one, you know? So I guess if you have multiple god children, they become god siblings?
Well, your godfather's kids would be your god sister or your god brother, but who says that?
No, I'm thinking if you have like, if you and I had the same godmom, we'd be god siblings.
Is that how it works?
I think. I don't know.
I was thinking it was like your godfather's children would be your god brother and your god sister.
That's what I would think.
Saying if two people have the same godfather, then they're god siblings.
That's what I assume because that means I would be a god sister with my cousin, and that feels very incestual.
Yeah, there's too many titles.
No, I think that what Sean was saying. What I always thought was because who would agree to be godmother of multiple children?
Yeah. It's all
Someone
of a sudden
who loves Jesus.
Taking them all in. You're like, anything happens to you or anything happens to you or you.
I mean, I get it because technically a lot of people would have to die for you to have to take on all that responsibility.
Plus, you seem like a really good person in the meantime without taking on the responsibility.
And you get a great seat at a lot of baptisms. So, all right, I'm on board.
This guy is on a date, steals the car, goes on another date with it, ends up in the news.
As far as nights out go, this one was disappointing from the very beginning. Faith Pugh says when her date showed up Saturday, he didn't even bring his own car.
I don't know who dropped him off. He just got dropped off.
Pugh says she knew Kelton Griffin from high school, but hadn't really spoken to him much when he reached out and suggested dinner.
Then he just out of the blue texted me and asked me to go out.
They took Pugh's black Volvo, but then Griffin couldn't make up his mind where he wanted to take her. They ended up at this airport area gas station.
He asked me, could I go in the gas station for him to get a cigar?
Turns out that was a mistake. No sooner had she left.
He just drove off. I came outside of my car.
Hell, man. You invite somebody to go out on a date. You text her out of the blue. They were childhood friends. Hey, let's go out somewhere. Then you can't figure out where you're going. Will you go into the gas station to get me a cigar? And he bolts with her car, leaving her in the parking lot as he's stealing it.
No.
Her mother picked her up. And then she got a surprising message from her god sister. The same man who had just stolen her car had asked her god sister out.
I said, okay, well, send me the address to where you at, and I'm on my way.
Confrontation!
She used the GPS tracking on her phone to tail him.
Running red lights, stop signs.
All the way to this drive-in theater, where they say they find Griffin in Pugh's stolen car with her god sister on another date.
He let her drive. So she drove him to the drive-in. He didn't even have any money. She actually paid their way to get in the drive-in just
this
so I could get my car
something.
Back.
They called police. Griffin was arrested on the spot. And we know it's not his first time in cuffs. In 2016, police say he and two other men ate out and then robbed the restaurant. If he's looking for company for his next meal out, Pugh says he won't find it with her.
I hope he's in jail for a long time. I never want to speak to him ever.
I don't blame you. Wow. Thought the end of that was going somewhere else for just a moment in time there. When we come back, more of your dispatches. Also, an eviction notice. Did it go too far? Was it too aggressive? Perhaps you've seen these before in the past that put them on your door. We'll take your experience as well. When we come back, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Orlando City marches to Discovery City to clash with Columbus Crew SC this Saturday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9, The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. The phone system is a fickle beast, but he'll still take your calls. You're listening to the News Junkie.
You know, sometimes I can't tell if social media is the greatest thing in the world or the worst thing. Usually the worst thing. But I just saw this. Somebody highlighted a post from Mr. Shaquille O'Neal himself. I don't know if you guys saw this. And even me, as a non-sports fan, chuckled when I saw what was going on. But one of the worst things you could do, especially on social media, is to ask somebody to name your thing. Like, hey, Our school needs a new name. Well, it's going to be something about Nazis or Schooly McSchoolface. Our boat needs a new name. Nazis or Schooly McSchoolface. Adolf Hitler did nothing wrong or Schooly McSchoolface. You're going to get these same things over and over and over again. So Shaq got a yacht because Shaq can do things like that.
That's right.
Just on a whim, he can buy a yacht. And he posted on social media, he said, hey, let me bring up the actual post. He said something along the lines of, hey, this is my new toy. He said, what should I name her? Hashtag my new toy.
Yachty McYacht, Yatterson?
Nope, didn't get that.
New toy. What should I name? Something about his feet.
It's a big old yacht. It's not something about his feet. Not something about his feet.
Shaquille.
Good dig, though. Even
Sequel.
Even as a, it's not Sequel. It doesn't have his name in it.
Okay.
Even as a non-basketball fan, I thought this was a good dig.
Oh, so let's, it's who he played for, wasn't it?
It's in the world of basketball. You're landing close to it now.
Man.
Something magic.
Magic C-Bus?
Andy Yang says, why don't you call it free throw so you won't ever sink it? see, stuff I gotta go.
Well done, sir. Give him a prize.
I go, nice. You know, maybe social media is not quite as bad, at least for these 5 seconds. And you know Shaq saw that. It's up there like top comment.
Hey,
for
I don't get that. It's not funny.
I don't think that's going to drive him away, though. He seems to have a crowd of pretty solid and fun people around him.
He seems to have a good sense of humor, too. I think Shaq would think that was funny.
Yeah, he'd probably laugh at it. You know, Shaq has a podcast. I've been meaning to try to check it out.
What doesn't he do? He's a DJ. He's going to run. Isn't he running for sheriff or something? He gave his endorsement. The chief mean.
Then he's always been involved in law enforcement, or at least for a long time at some level, and he's been doing that. And yeah, now he's got some podcast that he does that I haven't been able to check out yet.
That is a big ass boat.
It's pretty big.
Holy hell. You know what kind of gas you need to fuel that boat?
What's that?
Shaq diesel.
I was coughing, so I couldn't.
Media figures other than Shaq aren't that thrilled with social media right now. I'm sorry, do you have more?
No, I don't.
You got more over there? Felt like you buried yourself enough. They say high-profile journalists are saying they might leave Twitter after tweets attacking them and family members. You know, Jim Phillips was talking about this not too long ago. He's like, oh my God, I'm out of here. And it is one of those things that draws you in. It is brilliant in a way because Twitter works on all the addictive neurons and synapses that your brain could possibly ask for. It's feedback based, and you enter into sort of a feedback loop, and then the folks who aren't in the feedback loop are contrarians usually, or somebody who's in disagreement. So that part turns into a fight, which is sort of an exhilaration, and round and round we go. I mean, there's not a kumbaya side of Twitter. There's really just a whole bunch of minor wars and skirmishes in different sectors. And more of these people are jumping on board with that. CNN reporter Chris Klizza tweeted on Sunday that he was about done with Twitter after tweets mocking his child's peanut allergy started to get attention. This guy's been targeted for a while by these Own the Libs conservatives, and they mess around with ratioing his tweets. Which, if you don't know what that means, when you throw out a tweet, if it's ratioed, that means your replies are really, really high and your retweets or your likes are not anywhere near it.
Oh.
Meaning that people didn't want to echo your sentiment, they just wanted to comment on it, which is something that, if it wasn't a question, leads you to believe they disagreed with you and you get ratioed. So they've targeted Chris Klizza for a long time with that.
You've been ratioed.
He's been ratioed many times, and he says that he is about out of there. Also, New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman tweeted on Monday that with the exception of sharing stories, she was stepping back from Twitter. More and more political columnists and reporters are saying they're doing the same exact thing, saying that Twitter is toxic. It's toxic
Facebook,
out there.
Instagram, Twitter, y'all see this?
More people saying they're upset by this, but will they really go away? Probably not. Meanwhile, somebody wants you to go away. Well, if you live in this particular apartment complex, that would be the case. I don't know if you guys have ever gotten one of the landlord letters that they put on your door. Infuriating, maddening, frightening. All of these things wrapped into one. If your rent isn't on time, there's a process.
Right. Oh, okay. I'm like, So you're talking about an eviction letter,
yeah,
or a warning.
Yeah, it's like they put one on there first that says, you know, you are indebted to us in this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You have X number of days to vacate the premises. I remember I got a huge fight with the folks in the building because their new management system was so out of whack that I paid my rent every single month. But every single month they put one of these things on my door and I grabbed it and went down, put it on their desk. Go, my rent is paid. Get your stuff in order down here. I might not have said stuff. And here is the piece of paper that proves that I paid it. And it's scary. Like, you get it. It says you have 3 days to vacate the premises.
That's illegal.
It is. You can't do that. But they're required by law to serve you that before the process starts.
Right.
That would allow you to stay longer.
Yeah, but you can't hold somebody to 3 days to leave. I think you have to give them 30 or 60.
Yeah, I was talking to Moses when they kept doing this to me. I was like, what? I said, can they even really do that? Because, man, that's scary. Imagine a family, they got it all together, and your paycheck to paycheck, and something goes wrong, and you can't make your rent on time. Maybe you're a week late or something, and you're out with your whole family. It's like, no, that triggers the next step of the process.
They have to prove that they sent the letter.
Uh-huh. They have to put that out there and say that they sent it and you got it. Usually they'll either tape it on your door or shove it underneath your door.
And with that, even in that letter, because you think and know that they're starting this process, you contact a lawyer. And, I mean, I'm sure there's ways to pay a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So at least you're proving that you're trying.
Yeah, make a deal and work it out with them. These are all things that you could definitely do to get your stuff back in line. But those letters are scary. And anybody that's ever gotten one knows that they're scary and infuriating. You get it and you're like, God damn it, man. And you get upset that the process wasn't different.
It's like getting any envelope marked Internal Revenue Service.
Right. I don't want that at all. You've never opened one from the IRS that's been like, we just wanted to say,
hey,
you are doing a great job paying your taxes.
you
drilled it this year. In fact, you paid a little too much, so here's a check for you.
Well, that's what most people do when they pay taxes.
Yeah, but they don't send you a letter going, right, you overpaid, here's your money back.
No, they sent me a letter that says, you still owe us $8 more.
Yeah. What?
I've gotten that, Jim.
It's very infuriating. So there is a neighborhood that has a process to this that's even maybe more annoying, especially when you get to the last notice. The last notice being the one where they tape all over it and, you know, they make sure this is not going to fall off your door so you can't say you didn't get it. And that says eviction notice. Like, you're done. You're being evicted out of here and you're on your way. And that is what has happened at this complex in Memphis, Tennessee. But it's not just the process. It's what they had on the actual notice on the door that is getting so much attention in this situation. I'll tell you what, take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about that. And maybe you've seen letters like this yourself. Theirs in particular, you might find interesting. The details on that, plus your dispatches from the News Junkie app. That's all on the way. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and have started talking to each other again.
Did you know your mom's been writing fan fiction?
I did not.
Very erotic.
No.
Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
From now.
Radio. Real Radio. 104.1.
Skirting the statute of limitations under a thinly veiled Mexican pseudonym. This is the News Junkie.
You have to be shy. Say what you want.
A lot of controversy over this out of Memphis, Tennessee, and this kind of touches everybody no matter where you are. If you've been in that position where you're paycheck to paycheck and you got that rent bill coming in every single month and you don't even realize. I mean, I think C-Lane doesn't have to deal with this too much because I think we were talking the other day and you said you have never even, I don't even know if you've ever met your landlord.
Oh, I've met my landlord. Like the person that we kind of
pay the checks to.
Contact with. Yeah, because I did have to go into the office once to fill out all the paperwork. Never been back.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a different situation, I guess. If you're in an apartment complex, you've got one central office, and there's somebody whose job it is to go around and put those damn notices on the door.
Yeah, your building manager.
Uh-huh, and they go out there, and they, you know what they do at my building? I bet they do this a lot at places. in my building, they'll put the message on your door that says, like, you haven't paid your rent. They'll put it on there, and they just haul ass. Like, they just, they don't want any kind of interaction with the human beings on the other end. They sometimes do it. It's like the social anxiety-ridden UPS delivery person, where they put your package down and knock, and they just haul ass the other way because they don't want to encounter a human being. That's how I would be if I was delivering. And these people put these out all the time, and normally they're just very, God, they're just aggressive legalese. There's no heart to it. There's no, hey, happy Monday, smiley face. Hope your week is going well. Looks like we didn't get a payment from you. Can you contact the office as soon as possible?
No, it's like, by the way, if you don't do this now, we're slamming the hammer eviction in red and bold it's and like, square.
This letter serves as notice that you must vacate this premises in 72 hours. I mean, just your holy cow. Your life is upended by this. So the place here in Memphis is getting heat for the message on theirs. And they brought into things a giant emoji, which, you know, might be a little more kind-hearted were it not for the message around it. It's a smiling and pointing emoji, and it says in giant letters, guess who's moving? You.
No, that.
Guess who's moving? And then it says, you, with exclamation points all over the place.
That's a dick move.
Yeah, and below that, there's all kinds of messaging about, hey, we did everything we could. We tried to reach out to you. We tried to get in touch with you. You didn't seem to give a damn about paying or calling us or giving us a message. And the folks who are getting this say, I feel like it's kind of embarrassing. It's a shameful situation for somebody that is trying their best to make ends meet. And they're really upset by what's been done in the message behind all of this, and it's all started to go viral. Here's some more detail.
It's like antagonizing.
A smiling emoji takes up most of this orange notice, but the punchline to the joke is no laughing matter.
I feel like it's kind of embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? It's a shameful situation for someone that's trying, you know what I'm saying, the most to make ends meet.
It says, guess who's moving, and follows up with you. Along with, we've called, we've texted, and sent emails, so pay your rent or bring in those keys. It goes as far as to say rent is due on the first, not whenever. The notice has been taken down, and according to neighbors, the residents have moved out. Many people living in this complex say they refuse to pay rent because the complex refuses to make repairs.
They quick to put you out, slow to fix stuff.
So they're saying there's some problems, too. Like, hey, they're not fixing things in these units, and that we need them to do that before we can start paying stuff. I don't know if legally that's the way everything works for them, but they're taking issue with the message on this thing. And it's the only one I've ever seen, granted, I haven't seen a ton of eviction notices, that is not very, well, I mean, I guess it's serious in the message, but it's like joking, taking a shot at the person who is getting that message on their door.
They're like, hey, it won't be as bad of news if we add an emoji to it. And then, of course, let them know in the print that they're still evicted.
He's a smiling emoji. He's just delivering a very tough message.
WREG reached out to the Bent Tree apartment complex to hear their side of the story after the notice popped up on social media.
I'm not surprised by what you're saying, but I also don't disagree with that. That's just part of the collections in that market.
Chastity Blackburn is the senior director at the complex. She says the approach may have been bold, but collectors have a process to follow.
Does anything and everything she can do to collect the money.
She says if rent isn't in by the 15th of each month, it is sent over to evictions, and that process starts. Joshua Clay gets the process, but thinks the complex didn't have to stoop low to get their point across.
That is very petty.
Marquise Taylor says if people would just pay their rent, they wouldn't have these problems.
I mean, you pay your bills, you won't get it. Bottom line.
Ouch. And as for the claims the complex is slacking on their part, Blackburn had this to say.
If they call us, our typical turnaround time on Century is about 4 days if it's a non-emergency.
And quicker than that for an emergency. Though residents allege the complex isn't handling their business, the fact remains it's not free housing and rent must be paid.
Oh boy, and there you go. The inevitable argument over, even though these people aren't paying their bills and you say they haven't called you, they haven't responded to any of your things, is it okay to kind of take a shot at them? That's exactly what those folks are dealing with their notice right now. Let's go to some dispatchers. We've got some piling up here. Let's see what's on your mind. These are sent through the News Junkie app, and you can send one right now if you'd like. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Here's It's All Good.
So right about the time I was getting up to leave the office, the headphones I was wearing to listen to you guys came unplugged, and it played very loudly, "Give Us More Wiener," for the entire office to hear. So I'm going to have to probably move states, countries, possibly, change my name. Thanks for that.
Yeah, worst time for your headphones to come unplugged.
Give us more wiener!
Right there, that's not a good time. Here is Julie.
Hi, guys. I just want to give a quick shout-out to my new chat family and say thank you for making me feel so welcome.
Aww. Aww.
Also, C-Lane, can you please, please, please check your emails? Many of us have sent you a request to fix my name. Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Julie. I don't know what she's talking about with the name request. Here's the thing. If you, first of all, just get your name right. And if you use the email sign up, it'll be a hell of a lot easier when you're setting up the app. And that way you can pick whatever name you want. It won't pull in your Facebook name or anything. But if you want it changed one time and one time only, you can email C-Lane.
One time only.
C-L-A-N-E at realradio.fm. So many people just email me, and then I'm like, I try to forward them along, but it's a whole thing.
I just say, done and done.
Just pretend like it's fixed already.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it should be. Give it 24 hours.
This is something. Do you know who this is? I don't know if he knows who this is. Well, we'll try to get that done, Julie. I'm sure it's just in the email somewhere. There's so many that come in, it's ridiculous. Here's Daytona.
Hey, guys, what's up? Well, you know, I've been doing that crowd thing for years. My little thing's called Crowd Crit.
Oh.
And what it is, I buy a big fat bag, and then I just wait for a bunch of people to come and let me know how much they want and what they want of it. So.
That's selling weed, sir.
That's brilliant.
It's not Crowd Cow.
No, farm-raised weed.
Crowd Cow is a respectable organization. You're talking about just selling weed on the streets, which is totally different. Let's talk to Juan Wayne. Go ahead, Juan Wayne.
Hey, what's up, News Junkie?
Hey, go ahead.
Hey.
C-Lane, what's going on? Hey, for that eviction notice thing, if you hold back your rent, because they're not making repairs or whatever, mm-hmm. you're legally allowed to do so as long as you hold your rent in an escrow account.
All right.
So, like, you know, if they don't make repairs, you can hold back that rent until they make repairs, but you have to put it in an escrow to prove that you have the money available to pay rent.
Yeah, I'm guessing most of these people don't know that, so they just go, I won't pay until this gets fixed or whatever. They don't actually say.
Yeah, I've lived in a couple of places where the landlords or the people who run the place, they take advantage of people who are less informed about stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And they use these tactics to bully people around.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten into plenty of scuffles with a couple of landlords or slumlords per se, that they try all the tactics, but as long as you have, you know, your requirements, you're pretty much safe.
Yeah, and you know what? They'll flat out, thank you, Juan, appreciate it. They'll flat out lie to you about this stuff too. I know somebody who's an eviction lawyer and they go through this stuff all the time, and a lot of times these places know, you're exactly right, Juan. They know that you don't know what's going on. They know that this is complicated and it involves the law. And therefore, even though everybody goes, I'm going to tell my attorney, most people don't actually have one to tell, and that you don't know exactly what's legal and what's not, so they can just threaten you, scare you, and get you to do what they want, to bend to their will. So there are things you can do. I thought the message was kind of funny, though. Here's Daddy Two Times.
What's happening, Junkies? Happy Thursday. Look, I hate to be that guy, but I love to be that guy. Can somebody please tell Mosquito Lagoon Tim, who called in, that honesty doesn't equate to being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can be yourself and say what's on your mind and be a lying tool. Case in point, the president. Check that out right after you get yourself a bug zapper, bro. Happy Thursday.
There was a lot of noise in the background of that dispatch. Not yours, Daddy Two Times. Sounded okay over there. Here's, let's go over to Muffmouth.
What's going down, Junkies?
Hey.
Sean, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about that dude in the,
a dude?
I don't know, South American jungle rainforest or something.
Yeah?
And the sound that you're making is the same one, is when you do your keyboard sound.
They are very similar.
He's sitting there in the jungles and all those bugs around him.
Yeah, that's true. My for some reason I put a rattlesnake in the jungle. I don't know if that's the case, but that would be. And then the keyboard tapping sound I do is. So yeah, they're really close.
I think the rattlesnake is just slightly faster than the keyboard.
Yeah, there's a bit more speed there. Can you not do the?
I can.
It's close. You could do all kinds of noises. It surprises me that you can't do the rattlesnake noise.
Well, I just have to practice.
The dolphin is on point. I mean, that one you have.
I have not done my warm ups yet. So do not ask for the dolphin until after 1:30 p.m.
Harder to get to. A story that you're not going to believe in just a second, where a woman is suing because of something that happened at a restaurant. One more dispatcher. Here is C-Lane's buddy Mo Money.
Hey guys. You know what's more infuriating than getting the eviction notice?
What's that?
Is listening to Sean talk about a story and then hook me on and tell me we'll be back with that story.
Oh,
damn, that's Sean. Classic.
That's what you do, man.
Yeah, what do you want me to do?
My favorite is when he doesn't bring it up ever again.
I've done that many times. I try to get better at that, but there's so many stories over here. I lose track and a lot going on. But sometimes what happens is I look at the clock and I go, ah, hell, we got to go to break in like 60 seconds. And so it's going to be a long tease, but I can't get the whole story done. It's sort of walking a wire there. And so just wait. You wait patiently. It'll pay off eventually. Just like this story about a woman who went to a restaurant. What happened at that restaurant? Well, that's the story I'm going to get into very, very soon. The woman at the restaurant and the thing that happened to her that led to this lawsuit. I'll just tell you now. Screw you. A woman went to a restaurant and she said, I have the hiccups. And the place starts to pay attention to her because they kept going on. It was kind of making a scene. The owner goes over and goes, you want some help? I got a way to deal with this. And he goes into the back, into the kitchen, and gets her a little sip of red wine vinegar because his idea was that will get rid of your hiccups and cure it. There's one tiny little problem with that whole thing. It was oven cleaner that he brought back out.
Oh.
And not red wine vinegar. And it destroyed this woman's insides.
Oh, my God.
It was immediate that she felt this. The pain went to her chest. She was eating dinner at the Point restaurant. She was brought over this stuff by the restaurant owner who said it was red wine vinegar. It was not. It was oven cleaner. It burned her system pretty bad. She no longer has an esophagus or stomach.
Jesus. How did they mix that up?
They accidentally poured her this spoonful of cleaner thinking it was vinegar.
It's the medicine.
She wants them to be held accountable. The other stuff, she didn't have hiccups after it, but.
Well, that's great. That's because she didn't have the parts that, make the hiccups.
She was missing the integral things that would allow her to hiccup.
I wonder what that means for the rest of her life.
Ooh, God. I mean, that is just damage done, and she hopes to get paid off. I think she might win that one. Back in just a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
Dispatches in a moment, and it's something that just happened on the House floor in Washington, D.C. That's pretty interesting. The thing about that lady from the last story is so amazing. I mean, the idea that somebody brought out, there's this lady that had hiccups at a restaurant, and somebody from the restaurant, the owner, in fact, brought out a cap full of red wine vinegar, which he said was a great hiccup cure, and it was going to help her out so she can enjoy her meal. And then it happened to be that it was a mistake and it was oven cleaner. And one capful of oven cleaner can do that kind of damage to your body. That is insane to me. I mean, she lost her stomach, her esophagus. She it just burned through her body.
I mean, I get it makes sense considering the amount of grime and grease and thick stuff you have to get through when you're cleaning an oven. But if that something like that is so dangerous or so powerful,
mm-hmm.
keep it away
oh my God.
From things that people ingest.
It should be in one of those all red bottles with skull and crossbones and danger, stay away. And they should put a smell to it that makes it clear. They could do this to stuff. Sometimes they'll take chemicals and add a scent to the chemical so that you know just by smelling, you're like, no, this is not something that I'm supposed to drink at all. This is not red wine vinegar.
Well, they had to do that to some dangerous gases, too, because if not, you wouldn't smell them until you died.
I think propane is one of them, actually. I
think so.
I think because propane naturally has no smell to it, and it would leak into your house or whatever, and they made it so there's this bad smell to it, so you know something's going on. This woman, this poor lady, just is completely ruined. Her insides are done with because of this. Let's talk to Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi.
Hey.
Just wanted to share with you. It's sad about that lady for sure. Mm-hmm. And what can you say?
Yeah.
But back in the 70s, I worked at a grocery deli, and we had a really good-looking young lady that worked there, and she made herself a sub sandwich and put the Mazola oil on it and the vinegar and everything, and she took a bite out of it, and she said, "This don't taste right to me. Take a bite. See what you think." I'm like an idiot because she was so pretty.
Oh, no.
I took a bite of it. And instantly, my eyes completely went like blind for like 10 seconds.
Whoa, you bit into the sandwich and instantly you lost your vision?
Yeah, and my throat burned and my nose started running and I started gasping for air and stuff. What had happened was the young guy that came in and cleaned the store at night, he was a high school kid, didn't know any better, couldn't find a bucket to mix the spick and span in to clean. So he took the Mazola jar and poured the powdered spick and span in it.
Oh, God.
The water and shook it up and then put it under the counter. And, of course, she used it on the sub sandwich. I had no permanent damage.
Thank God.
Fortunately, compared to that.
Well, Ron, right after that happened, I'm assuming you had to go to the hospital, right?
Actually, no, I didn't. I suffered for several minutes. I can't mm-hmm. tell you exactly how long it was, but I will tell you that it was a horrible experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds like it. Geez, anything like that. Yeah, I think about that and I go, God, this sounds like an absolute and total nightmare to deal with.
And it's really scary.
Hurting
it. That would be a hell of a way to go, man.
Eesh.
You were just trying to clean.
And you think about this, you go, what idiot? Like, you hire people that you think are going to be competent. Meanwhile, they're going over and taking this stuff that's poisonous, putting it in something that other people use. I don't need to tell them. Like, I have certain chemicals in the house, stuff for the aquarium. Don't worry, I'm not going to get into a whole aquarium story. You guys have beaten me to death over those. But one of them is this clarifying stuff. And so I make sure I put in this spray bottle and write like fish tank stuff on. Make sure nobody ever would grab that and think, let me just squirt this in my mouth. This will be something delicious to taste.
There's not too many things that I consume out of a spray bottle.
Me either.
Like one where you use your whole hand to like spray, like a Windex style spray. I mean, maybe an atomizer, but not even that.
Well, anything with a bottle like that, I worry, are they gonna use this for, is somebody gonna grab this and think they could use it for a plant or whatever?
Yeah.
People make these mistakes. You gotta be careful about that. It could end up with a damn death toll. And in media news, there is a story about Mark Zuckerberg that I think I want to come to the defense of Mr. Zuckerberg, even though we've learned that he's not a human.
But it is going to bother you because you're human, and I was human.
It was.
I am human, still.
It was.
But,
used to be human, Mark Zuckerberg. He did an interview with Recode, a website, and they have a podcast. And he was talking about this whole kerfuffle over removing InfoWars from Facebook. And a lot of people want him to remove Alex Jones and InfoWars from Facebook's platform. And there's a lot of valid reasons for that. Look, Alex Jones is a nut job. Alex Jones is somebody who spouts conspiracy theories about crisis actors and says things that I think are really hurtful to actual victims of situations like Sandy Hook and all that stuff.
And then goes on to say those nasty things and sells like spray for $75 a bottle.
Sells like buckets of food to help you during the apocalypse. The thing that you should really notice is when your radio host sells things that mirror the things that your end of the world preacher sells, there's a bad crossover there. Mm-hmm. It's like anybody who's selling these kind of end of the world products and weird vitamins that nobody else is selling might want to beware. So people want Alex Jones off of Facebook. I don't know what good that does. He's going to go somewhere. You can't just say you can't be on the internet because you're a conspiracy theorist. And if you were going to stop him and you start stopping everybody with conspiracy theories, think about your set of friends. You've probably got somebody in your set of friends who's talked about conspiracy theories.
And the internet will be so boring.
It's just a weird can of worms to get into. But Mark Zuckerberg is doing this, and he gives an example. Because combating fake news is something that he said is important to him on Facebook. The example he gives is Holocaust denial, because he's Jewish. And he goes, look, that's very offensive to me that somebody would deny the Holocaust. But sometimes people get misinformed about things, and sometimes this happens and that happens, and you don't want to necessarily make it so those people can't have a platform at all. You want to make it so your algorithm downshifts that so it doesn't share it with everybody in their news feed.
Which makes sense, and you could tell that they've been doing that, but is it a platform? Is sounds like something you give your opinion or something that you feel strongly about, but if these are publishing things that are made out to be like fact and giving misinformation to the masses, then why would he allow that to continue?
I think what he's saying is you can't tell everybody's motives. And if you start to get into policing one or the other, then you have to open that can of worms and police everything. And even though what they're saying is horrid and flat out wrong and not factual at all, what they're saying is something he'd rather handle with the algorithm than by just deleting that person for their opinion off of Facebook. So there's headlines out today like this. Like, this is from the damn BBC, by the way. The BBC says, Zuckerberg in Holocaust denial row. The New York Daily News was about to run almost the same exact headline and story on the front page of their paper this morning, but they ended up not doing that. Because Zuckerberg got lucky here, the folks at a radio station called WFAN in New York City, a sports radio station, are embroiled in a gigantic threesome sex scandal, text messages, huge lawsuit.
Nice.
Thing. So they ripped the Zuckerberg thing off the cover and went with that, but they were going to go with the same damn thing. He didn't deny the Holocaust happened. He didn't say he supports people who deny the Holocaust happened. This is why nuance is dead, and the media should be called out and shamed for stuff like this. That is not what he said in the slightest. He said he wanted to handle what he agreed was a problem in a different way. He said it greatly offends him when somebody does say that the Holocaust didn't happen or that the Jews deserved it or whatever terrible thing they might say. And then they run stories in legitimate outlets like this. And how many people on the BBC website or on social media see Zuckerberg in Holocaust denial row today and go, oh, I didn't know that. Looks like Mark Zuckerberg is a Holocaust denier. That's weird. That's terrible thing for him to be a part of that. It's just, it's not true. It's not the way it went. And any person with a set of eardrums, or even anybody with any reading comprehension, can read his exact quotes or listen to what he said and know he did not deny the Holocaust, know that he said Holocaust denial is offensive, and know that he said we need to deal with this, but we have to deal with it this way through the news feed instead of just deleting everybody's accounts. That's a real shame. That's a real shame that that's where our news outlets are right now, that they're printing stuff like that, posting stuff like that. And I think the most offensive thing to me is that a lot of these people are bad faith actors, meaning they know what they're doing is not in line with the truth. They know that this is not in line with the truth and what Mark Zuckerberg said, but they're going to do it anyways because it's going to get more clicks.
Of course.
If it says Holocaust denial next to his name. There's a guy who's getting some attention today. Have you guys heard of Mr. Adam Curlykale, I think is his name. Adam Curlykale.
Can't say that I have.
My toner is just flat out, and it's a real bad spot on the list here.
Dude, come on.
Adam Curlykale, and he is a man who is very, very, very tattooed. And Adam has tattoos on 90% of his body. 90%. And he said he wanted to continue to tattoo more. He even has his eyeballs done, which, man, that one weirds me out. I don't know about you guys, but when I see somebody with eyeball tattoos, like where they color the white of their eyes.
Which is very dangerous.
Yeah, not a good idea. Your eyeballs were not made to do that. And Adam has done that. But he started doing this and getting all these tattoos and doing everything else 12 years ago after he was diagnosed with cancer. But he said he wanted to further his look, and there was something that was interfering with the furthering of his look, and that was his penis. So went ahead and had that removed. Just get it off of there.
All right.
So you could continue with the tattoos. And you got that penis in the way, just ruining the look.
Is he not aware that tattoo and penises have come together before?
I don't know. I would imagine that this guy has all of the tattoo knowledge, but maybe not. He paid to undergo the extreme surgery. He has now shared pictures with his fans on social media. Oh, we got to see these
what
pictures.
What doctor did this?
I don't know.
Ethically speaking, like they... You can't go and ask someone to cut off your arm. That's not legal. We've had this discussion before, people that have this disorder that they want to get rid of a limb.
Yeah, but there's a fine line there because you can do body modifications, and that's not something that you need to have done at all, and there's certainly doctors that will do that. Like, they'll cut your ears into different shapes.
Well, that, but it doesn't change your anatomy or the function of your body. I mean, he's going to have to pee in a colostomy bag, and the doctor who did it was totally fine.
I don't know what this looks like. I guess he posted it online. I have not seen the actual photos. He got it done in Russia, where he lives.
Oh, that's probably it.
Got it done over in Russia.
He looks mostly black.
Yeah, he's an albino guy, and that's all tattoos. He's tattooed his entire body, like, black, and he's got just the color all over him. He has his penis that has been removed. His nipples he also had removed. And also his testicles, just for the, you know, to round things
out. I thought I was
going
to leave him in there.
Mm-hmm. Got rid of those, too. Would have been very funny looking just to leave those suckers hanging there. Adam got this all done.
Good choice of words.
Started doing this years ago. He was on a TV show that made him famous in 2017 called Second Face in Poland, where he said he wanted to cover the blemishes that were left behind by cancer and just kept going on and on and on and on.
Interesting.
And on with his removal of those tattoos. So when you want to go all the way, you go all the way. You got the photo up already?
I'm putting it up right now.
C-Lane's putting the photograph of what this tattoo guy looks like on See It Now in the News Junkie app so you can take a peek. I'm going to look at that too. As soon as that goes up there, I'm interested to see what that looks like before and after as well. So we'll take a peek together.
I don't have a picture of his
penis. He posted it. He shared that.
Oh, I got to find that.
Might have to add that too. All right, we'll get all this done in just a moment. Search for the app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store to get it. And you'll be all set and ready to go to see when that photo goes up momentarily. The man is certainly dedicated to his craft. That is to say, the absolute very least. Back in just a moment. With the next episode with Sabrina's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
When you don't need help, but you want some anyway.
I'm at a loss. I just don't know what's going on.
407-916-1041. Toll free, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.
The show that takes you from Skywall Summer to Jack Rocket Ball. Whatever that means. This is The News Junkie.
Live trivia in just a bit. Make sure you are ready to go. Of course, Skywall Summer Prize upgrades in effect. What does that mean? That means we play live trivia. If the wheels land on a Skywall Summer upgrade for you, you get an opportunity to select a different prize, a better prize, an amazing prize for you. Next week is all TV and movie themed, so get ready for that. And the Skywall Summer Prize upgrades continue through the end of July. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
It's a real pussy wagon.
Don't do it, rockin', she's a real pussy wagon.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
27 years ago, 1991, the former drummer for this band right here.
Guns N' Roses.
That is right. Guns N' Roses. Steven Adler, he sued the band, claiming the other band members forced him to do heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And then made him quit the band while he tried to kick his habit. They settled out of court for $2.5 million, so I guess maybe they did force him. Or perhaps they just didn't want to deal with the drama. Comic-Con kicks off this weekend, which means National Clean the Basement Day for the moms out there. Get ready. And remember, for those of you attending, you're not granted access without ID and proof of virginity. So make sure you have that in your pocket. Lamar Odom is moving to China. I'm noting that he wants to blend in with the crowd. Not sure if you picked the right place, Lamar. David Spade says he's never going to do full frontal nudity.
Why not?
I don't know, but I have nothing to live for, so if I could borrow your shotgun for a second here.
Oh, I can hold it right here.
Fatality.
Oh.
And for the next 10 minutes.
How do I...
Big Brother contestant J.C. Mondu says the N-word during the show's live feed.
This guy's my favorite.
CBS has threatened to recommend him as the new CEO of Papa John's.
Because JC is a little person, and he's a homosexual, male, little person, Latino guy.
Yes, very thick accent.
And he has enough personality for seven people, probably. And what he was trying to do, he's got a lot of language barrier stuff in this conversation he was trying to have. Somebody said midget, and he was trying to explain how midget is offensive and little person, and then he said the N-word in the context of that, and they jumped on him.
Yeah, he caught a lot of hell from another house guest who's black when he used the N-word in an analogy about the M-word. As he put, midget is like gay and the F-word. Oh, well, let him explain.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is there a difference between a midget and a dwarf?
Midget is like saying, like, between, like, I don't know, like, gay and f***. Or
so midget is just a name.
Or like I'm black. Midget is like.
You're not allowed to say that. Don't do that again.
What? The
that was like. Don't do that again.
Hold on.
Really?
Yeah.
I just don't. I think if I'm trying to explain something, it doesn't.
No, you can't do that.
Like I say, I fuck all the time, and that's really disrespectful.
Very.
By the way, she just went right by the fact that she said gay and then the F word for gays, and she's like, oh, so you mean pretty much the same thing.
Oh, she goes, so it's a name for
it. It's a name for it.
And
I also called another guy Packy in the house, and nobody jumped
on that. That was the hugest 180.
Well, like, listen, Little Women LA star Brianna Renee is actually supporting him because comparing the N word is like, you know, exactly what you think it is. She is referenced it back to the times in the circus and says you shouldn't use either.
I do feel like JC was coming from a good place, and I just feel like you have to really be aware of who you're talking to, how you're saying things. I know that none of these words are okay. Sadly, the word midget comes from a derogatory term in the times where little people were a circus act, and so it is a sensitive subject, but so is the N-word.
Right.
So to me, like, I feel that maybe JC could have been just a thought about it. Like, you have to be sensitive to people. When I hear the word midget, if someone's going, look at that midget, you know, I get upset because it's not a moment I can educate.
Is this TMZ?
Yeah. This TMZ with all the money they have can't have, a proper connection to Skype. Now, Brianna, who just finished recording a new album, at least they were able to plug that in, says JC's point even further and makes a case for all people to stop dropping both words. All right? In the meantime, the mayor of Philadelphia is wanting to evict this guy and his music festival.
Jay-Z
is right.
He has a whole music festival?
Yes, it's called, wait for it, Made in America. It's been going on for quite some time, but the controversy continues to rage in Philly over rapper Meek Mill's probation case. So the mayor's office have moved to boot the popular Made in America festival created by Jay-Z. Now, it's interesting because Jay-Z and Roc Nation found out about the news with everybody else.
All right.
They released, they had a press release and didn't discuss it with them beforehand. So I guess on Tuesday, this is the last year the fest will be held on the Ben Franklin Parkway. And Jay-Z fired back, revealing in a statement that the mayor's office also tried to cancel this year's fest, which will feature Meek Mill, Nicki Minaj, Post Malone on September 1st and 2nd. We're disappointed in the mayor that he would evict us from the heart of the city through a media outlet without a sit-down meeting, notice, dialogue, or proper communication. He also says that Jay-Z, at least with the minority-owned fest, has brought in $102.8 million to the city, $3.4 million in rent, and employed thousands. The rep for the mayor told Philly that the festival, when it first started, was a unique situation, attraction, but the need for an event of this scale at this location may no longer be necessary. So they start to backtrack a little bit more and more. Finally, the mayor called issue a misunderstanding and that we are going to stand by, we're committed, we're working with Roc Nation, and we're going to continue our partnership with Made in America Festival. So lesson for everybody, would, you know, have a one-on-one maybe before making announcements to thousands of people.
Everybody just goes public with it before that, I think.
And speaking of public, this guy right here.
CeeLo?
Mm-mm. He has something around his neck, maybe two.
2 Chainz.
2 Chainz is right, and he's heartbroken right now because his pink trap house in Atlanta is set to be destroyed. But he wants people to save it. He is fired up, and he's ready to launch a campaign to save it. He was over at LAX, and they asked what he thought about the owner of the property saying that he's planning to demolish it. And he said, hey, there's a personal connection. This is the Eiffel Tower of Atlanta.
Why doesn't he just buy it?
Down the Statue of Liberty. We need to keep that up, man.
Yeah, I'm saying.
We changed the connotation of Trap House from something that was considered negative to something that was considered positive. We held church services. We gave back to the community. We did art activities. We did AIDS tests and all of that. But I think they want to knock it down. I'm not sure why they want to knock it down. But, you know, I'm all about redirecting the negative stuff into something positive.
There you go. 2 Chainz. T-Boy says it himself. I can't, like, because his name has the T-word say it.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of popular bands.
Yeah. I mean.
T-Boy says the charitable efforts, as well as the countless photos, his own music video being shot there, make the pink trap house a true landmark. Plus, they don't sell drugs out of it anymore. So, maybe Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms should expect a call very soon, or the landlord will just destroy it next week. And we'll move on with our lives. Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio turned down Brokeback Mountain.
For what?
That's what I'm asking. Now, Gus Van Sant was originally supposed to direct Brokeback Mountain before Ang Lee took over, but now he's come out to say that he was working really hard on it, but they couldn't find any gay cowboys.
All right.
Nobody wanted to do it. He felt like we needed a really strong cast, like a famous cast. That wasn't working out. He asked the usual suspects, Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Ryan Felipe, they all said no. Of course, Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal eventually took the parts, and both got Oscar nominations. He said other actors who supposedly turned down roles in the movie, Joaquin Phoenix was supposed to be,
really?
At least approached to be a gay cowboy. They even asked at least once Edward Norton to direct it, but he passed as well, and Mark Wahlberg. So I guess, it worked out, obviously, with the Oscar nominations, but could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Brad Pitt? And Leo?
Mark? Ka? Keys? I wish I knew how to quit you, Ted? Or Brad Pitt? What's in the butt? What's in the butt? Sony may have a plus-size superhero on the way. That's right.
Plus-size superhero. Okay.
Home of Spider-Man, he plans to adapt Faith, a comic book about a plus-size hero. Science fiction-loving geek who happens to have telekinetic superpowers. Studio's been on a superhero tear lately with Tom Hardy movie Venom set to come out this year. Spider-Man Far From Home going into production. Sony also just signed Jared Leto as Spider-Man spin-off character Morbius. Hmm. And they're developing Silk about a Korean-American superheroine who is a classmate of Peter Parker's. Now, I don't know if they're going to go with Faith or perhaps another name like Jumbo Soda Man. or Mr. Incredibly Overweight. Dr. Couch Sore. Starlard. Perhaps Arteries Block a Man. Because of fat going into the
heart. I see.
And finally, I will leave you with this. Brandi Carli, she's hosting a music festival early next year, and it'll be all female performers. It's called Girls Just Wanna Weekend. It's going down January 30th through February 3rd at the Hard Rock Hotel in Mexico. Maren Morris, Margot Price, Patty Griffin, the Secret Sisters, and the Indigo Girls. Oh. I have a feeling it's going to be a Les Fest. One reason for the women-only thing is she'd like to change the perception that female acts can't put butts in the seats, then get 3,000 women to go to Mexico, then what can we do at home? She also wants to make sure everyone knows it's not going to be boring. And I quote, I fully intend for the festival to be a total tequila experience.
Of course.
Let's black out in Mexico, ladies. On the Boob Tube, week 6 of the 4, 8 p.m. on Fox. Match Game, 9 p.m. on ABC. The Gong Show's following that. Tonight's schedule also includes Marvel's Cloak and Dagger at 8. And Denzel Washington will be on Stephen Colbert. Have a great, great Thursday, Chodes. And remember,
smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Live trivia up next. If you'd like to play, now is the time to dial us up. 407-916-1041 or toll-free 1-888-978. 1041. Two callers head-to-head to battle it out when we come back. Get the app ready to go because you're playing along in the News Junkie app. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Making sure we're on the same page. Whatever the hell this is.
I'm beating the crap out of the guy. I don't care if his junk touches me.
Real Radio 104.1. The kind of crew who types the word functioning in bold, italic, and underline. This is the News Junkie.
Live trivia in just a moment. An odd scene in the nation's capital is we have so much nonsense going on. You have people putting forward things that are going to say that ICE is fantastic. People putting forward things to say that ICE is terrible and should be disbanded. All of them not real. You know, they're not intending this to go through. They're just doing it as a political theater stunt. And now you've got something else happening where they're discussing on the House floor. Here it is. Here's the moment.
Gentleman from Maryland,
they're discussing the integrity of American elections.
For the remainder of the 5 minutes.
Got live trivia in just a moment. He goes into it here. The Democrats are chanting, USA, USA.
It would be inaccurate to say that this is a vote about process. It is a vote about substance. In fact, Mr. Quigley's amendment is about one of the most pressing issues of our time.
Quigley.
The director of the National Intelligence has said there is a flashing red danger signal.
Flashing.
Similar to the one that happened before 9/11.
He goes on and on with this whip 'em up speech.
Responds by providing for us to partner with our states to slam the door in the face of the Russian bear.
At the end, it turns into USA, USA. This is a complete flip-flop of exactly what would have happened in this position 4 years ago. It's through the looking glass all over again. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
It's live trivia for a Thursday, July 19th, 2018. Seven questions, two callers head-to-head, and you right now. Right this moment, you're playing along in the News Junkie app. Let's pick up some players on the phone here. How about Lindsay? Are you there, Lindsay?
Yes.
All right, there she is. She's ready to go. Lindsay sounds like she's laughing at something, but you're still ready to go for live trivia, certainly, right?
I'm ready.
Okay, she's ready, and she's going up against Sylvester. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Sylvester, our other player in live trivia today. Best of luck to the both of you. Let's jump right into things here. We might have a Skywall Summer Prize upgrade for whoever wins it all. Number one, in celebration of National Hot Dog Day yesterday, Casey's Corner in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom served up which of the following for guests at the park? Do they have 2-foot-long hot dogs, hot dogs shaped like Goofy, 5-foot-long hot dogs, or hot dog-flavored beer? Lindsay?
The 2 hot dogs.
You said the 2-foot-long hot dogs. Yeah. Sylvester, your turn?
Same thing.
On to number 2. Trump sought to walk back his remarks with Vladimir Putin by correcting a single word uttered during the 46-minute joint appearance. Which word did he correct? Wood versus wooden, Russia versus rushing, partisan versus Parmesan, or Putin versus pudding? Sylvester.
First one.
All right, Lindsay.
Same thing.
Number 3, KFC held a Facebook live stream event featuring cats climbing around on a Colonel-themed cat tree. But many were left confused after what was censored in the video. What did they censor? The Colonel's face, the cat's balloon knots, the cat's faces, or a cat cleaning itself? Lindsay, which one's right?
The cat's faces.
Okay, Sylvester?
Same.
Number 4, a clip that has now gone viral shows a bee shaking wildly as this bee appears to go into a fit after a tattooed man in the UK fed the bee this. Did he give the bee THC concentrate, liquid MDMA, a dead bee, or a mini bottle of vodka? Sylvester.
MDMA.
Lindsay.
Same thing.
Number 5, the director of the upcoming R-rated Muppet film The Happy Time Murders recently revealed the details of a cut scene that involved a bartender puppet that had this. Did the bartender puppet have a talking penis that's racist, a rapping BH, a sexual relationship with its grandmother, or a singing penis? Lindsay.
Singing penis.
Sylvester.
Sam.
You're both in agreement on that. We go to number 6. A San Francisco-based food company recently announced a new product, a plant-based egg substitute. They're calling it this. Is it Veggs After Yolk? I'm sorry. Veggs Alter Yolk, Just Egg, or Eggquivalence? Sylvester.
Just Egg.
Lindsay.
Same.
Number 7, the final question. Yesterday, we learned the first Prime Day, way back in 2015, was called the Internet's Worst Clearance Rack. One of the best deals that was featured was a $1,000 55-gallon bottle of what? Was it lube, glitter, chloroform, or special effects semen? Lindsay.
Lube.
You say lube, Sylvester?
Yeah.
Lube.
You say the same thing. Good. Well, if you guys got that, I didn't even do that yesterday. Today alert. I actually didn't get to that particular one. But yeah, it was the first Prime Day way back when. You'll find out what happened there in just a moment. Live trivia brought to you by Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com. If you go to the website, you'll find an awesome selection, the best in the state of Florida and beyond. If you want a badass truck, well, that's exactly where you need to go, over to NationsTrucks.com. More from C-Lane on that in just a bit. Back to question number 1 as we fire through these. They celebrated National Hot Dog Day at Disney yesterday. What did they have?
Lindsay and Sylvester both said a 2-foot-long hot dog, and that answer, oh boy.
Now, 5-foot-long hot dogs, just too much. It's just too much hot dog there. And very, very unwieldy and hard to carry around, I would imagine. Number 2, Trump wanted to walk back his remarks during the Putin press conference. He corrected this word.
Both the players said wood versus wooden. That answer was right.
Number 3, KFC blurred out this in a video.
Lindsay and Sylvester both said the cat's faces, and that was incorrect. It was their... they're balloon knots, a.k.a. BH.
Number 4, a clip that has now gone viral shows a bee who is shaking wildly, either having a really bad time or a really good time. It's going into a fit because a guy gave the bee this.
But the player said liquid MDMA, and that answer, right.
Number 5, the director of the Happy Time Murders said they cut a scene that had a bartender puppet with this.
Lindsay and Sylvester both said a singing penis, and that answer was right.
Number 6, a San Francisco-based food company recently announced a new product, plant-based egg substitute. What is the name of this thing?
Both the players said just egg, and that was exactly right.
Might be able to try that soon here. They're going to bring it into the studio, perhaps. We'll see how that goes. I got to be honest about it, though, right? Like, they're not going to have some situation where they expect me to go, oh, this is delicious, if I don't think it's delicious.
Right.
Got to be honest representation of what I'm tasting. Mm-hmm. But I am very excited to give it a try. Number seven, yesterday, we almost learned that the very first Prime Day was in 2015, and it featured a $1,000 55-gallon bin of this.
Both the players said lube, and that answer was correct, you psychics. Both the players got a tie. Now we have a tiebreaker.
Let's get them back up here. Lindsay and Sylvester, there they are. They're back. They're ready for your tiebreaker.
Sylvester, you go first. How many steps are there from the bottom to the top of the Empire State Building?
Steps? Yeah. So 2,300.
All right.
And Lindsay?
Yeah,
2,301. Nice.
Let's see if she went the right way.
Answer 1,800. Oh, yeah. Make it Sylvester, the winner of Live Trivia.
There you go. Got him. Congratulations, Sylvester. You are the winner of Live Trivia. Hang on tight. Where to get your info? Set you up with a prize of your choosing. But here we are in July. It's still summer. Let's spin the wheel. See if we have a Skywall Summer Prize upgrade for you today. And wait. I'm sorry. It wasn't your favorite day. The good news is we always have great prizes, right, C-Lane? What do we have today?
I have a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Mission Impossible Fallout on Monday, July 23rd at Regal Waterford Lakes. The best intentions often come back to haunt you in the end. Mission Impossible Fallout finds Ethan Hunt, who's played by Tom Cruise and his IMF team, along with some familiar allies in a race against time after a mission gone wrong. Also featuring Henry Cavill, Angela Bassett, Vanessa Kirby. They also joined the dynamic cast. Filmmaker returns. Christopher McQuarrie returning to the helm. That's going to be Monday, July 23rd at Regal Waterford Lakes. And then I also have a pair of passes to the Orlando Pride as they take on the Seattle Reign on Saturday, July 21st at 3:30 at the Orlando City Stadium. Those tickets are on sale right now, and you can visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more info.
All right, thank you. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
It seems testicles aren't the only thing this gentleman manslaughters, because he's also slaughtering trivia this week. With a score of 2,700 points even, he's got the lead for the week, followed by Swilly, the Dita, Fancy Nancy, Ask Colio, Jay Beaverton, Mike from Michigan, Smelly Primate, Laser Blade, and Big Snack 98. I'll get you your prize, Big Snack 98. You hold on. At the back, five, Sab Bridge, Ian Moon, and Jawa, Foskinya, and Napping Queen.
All right. Thank you all for playing along. I appreciate that. It's very nice of you. But what I want you to do now is, if you don't play along, download the app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. It's very easy to do. In fact, you could do it right this moment. Get the free app. That way, when we talk about something, you can see things on See It Now, like photos and video. You can send in dispatches and get on the show. You can create your profile and collect badges and interact with other people in the chat room and do so much more. Plus, of course, there's secret shows that you can listen to on the app right through your phone that you can Bluetooth into your car. If you plug it right into your system, you can listen to it that way. Or on GetSecretShows.com. Another one on the way today. If you don't have it, get it now. Go to The News Junkie in your app store and download away. When we come back, we're talking about the Robin Williams documentary. Whew! That's got nothing on this BBC documentary they just dropped. This is bizarre. Details are on the way. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio. Real.
Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is The News Junkie.
This is unbelievable. We're talking about all these documentaries, and the Robin Williams one in particular. This BBC one is probably the most insane thing I have ever seen in my entire life. And I got the trailer for it. Wait till you hear the details on this in a moment or two. But I think C-Lane probably has the most experience with this. Are you a fan, Sabrina, of raw oysters?
Yes, I am.
I like them only if they're ice cold and it got a little bit of hot sauce on it. And it's not too slimy. But I don't go, like, I've never gone, oh, man, I'm really craving some oysters right now.
I have.
It's a texture thing for me.
I have, if I'm visiting somewhere that's by the water, usually I'll be like, man, some oysters would really hit the spot right now. Or every once in a while, I'll see either in Time Hop or on Facebook a picture of people at Lee and Rick's. And uh-huh. I gotta go get some oysters.
All right, when you go to an oyster place, because I've never honestly paid attention to this. I've been to places where they get fresh oysters delivered and clams and stuff like that. In fact, in New Orleans, they get like a big bundle of them. They just deliver them right by the door every single day. And,
yeah,
and so you see this stuff and it's all fresh out of the water. But when you go to a place, I know that I've looked at menus throughout my extensive raunting history, going to different restaurants, where on the menu, almost every one of them says, if you're consuming food with this in it, it has a risk of being undercooked. And it's like a legal warning that you could get sick off of different kinds of food.
They have to say there's a risk with consuming raw, in this case, raw oysters. But if you have a chronic illness of the liver, stomach, or blood, or have immune disorders, you're at greater risk of serious illness from raw oysters and should eat oysters fully cooked. If unsure of your risk, consult a physician. All oysters, I'm looking at the Lee and Rick's menu right here. Uh-huh. All oysters from there are state-certified suppliers.
Did you know you could die, though? You could die?
Come on,
from eating
man.
This thing?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to scare you or anything. This story out of Sarasota said a man died from something called, and I'm going to need some help because I'm not going to pretend I know what this is, Vibrio vunificus. Here, let me spell it for you so you can look it up for me. Vibrio, V-I-B.
I'm just going to Google man died from raw oysters.
That might help you out too. Vibrio vunificus.
That sounds like a Harry Potter spell.
It does. Like you're swinging the wand around as you say, Vibrio vunificus. But in this case, you die when you get the spell. A bacterial infection after eating raw oysters at a Florida restaurant, according to health officials. The guy was, I think, 71 years old. He died 2 days after eating the raw oysters in a Sarasota restaurant.
Was there, like, any warning signs of this poisoning?
I'm trying to figure this out. They said that they haven't mentioned, at least in this article, what restaurant it was in Sarasota. We have an individual that consumed some raw oysters, and to the best of our knowledge, had no exposure to salt water. He became severely ill and passed away, according to the Sarasota County Health Department. This bacteria that he got is found in salt water and raw or undercooked shellfish. Well, when you eat oysters, they're almost always raw. You can do baked oysters and some other things, but most people do raw oysters.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that that's the most popular thing that you get at these places. Health officials say that they warn against eating raw or undercooked shellfish or getting into salt water with open wounds because of this exact issue. Here's how it was for the old man as he was going down. The symptoms may include vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal pain or fever that does not give up as time goes on.
Ugh.
So the poor guy puked, crapped, and cramped himself to death.
Fatality.
And they traced it all back to this restaurant that he was at and the raw oysters he was eating.
Oh, now, shucks. I have heard of pasteurization for oysters. And I don't know if they do that for all of them. Obviously, if you're the one collecting the oysters yourself and then, shucking them and eating them. So the oyster would no longer be alive, but is still considered raw. And I guess the FDA had some regulations that they were trying to do. And then this article says that they were bowing to pressure from fans of raw oysters. So there's kind of a back and forth on whether or not, because I mean,
most raw oysters are not alive, right? They're dead, but they're just raw.
Not sure.
Like, do they come to the restaurant alive?
Yeah, like, are they still, like, they're not moving around, and I've never had one that moved when I opened the oyster.
I don't think that they're alive.
I think it's just like a dead raw fish.
Facing political pressure from the Gulf Coast oyster industry, the FDA backed off of a plan to require raw oysters from the Gulf of Mexico to be treated to rid them of, drumroll please, Vibrio vulnificus.
Oh, there you go.
A potential deadly bacteria found in warm water oysters. I think that's that part of that might be that whole saying where you only eat oysters on months that end in R.
I don't remember that. I've heard something like that before. I know that they say don't eat them when they're not open, right? Don't they say that? Like,
no, you don't eat them if they are open.
Oh, if it is open.
Correct.
If the oyster is already open?
Well, no.
They'll open it for you sometimes, but you're talking about if you picked one out of the sea and it's open already, you're not concerned.
No. I'm talking about once you get them in the restaurant, there's still like a thing that you look at and you go, oh, if it's like this, do not eat them.
If you cook them, like steam them or something like that, same with mussels and clams, and they don't open, they say those are bad, don't eat them.
There you go.
If you, other than that, though, you know, they're fine.
Well, unless you're this guy who gets the one that kills him. An unfortunate situation for the folks there in Sarasota. A BBC documentary. This one, just by the title, you can tell is pretty intense. The documentary is called My Neighbor the Rapist. And this documentary is led by a guy from South Africa who goes all through Johannesburg, and he talks about a couple of things. And one of those things is a phenomenon that happens in Africa, the continent, but mostly in South Africa, where AIDS is fairly prominent and a major social issue. There are a lot of people in South Africa that believe this myth that if you have HIV or AIDS and you have sex with a virgin, you will get rid of the HIV or AIDS that you have.
Someone should stop that rumor.
Yeah, they try to all the time, but it persists, and there is just an unbelievable amount of rape that occurs in the area and in South Africa. And obviously that then carries with it the HIV. And this guy went in there to chronicle everything that was happening. Because as this gets worse and worse in South Africa, they have mobs out there chasing down people who have been accused of being rapists and killing them in the streets and burning them. And vigilante justice, where nobody really even checks on it. They just go, that guy's a rapist. And they chase him down and catch him, light him on fire, and kill the person. I'll play you the trailer from this in just a second. Let's talk to Fish on Jay. Go ahead, Fish on Jay.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Go ahead, man.
I'm gonna say right now, I cannot stand oysters at all. I only touch oysters when using them for bait, or if not, put them on a slingshot and fling them back into the water.
Are you on a boat?
I was close. I went fishing this morning. Now I'm going home.
Have you heard about this before, where people eat these and actually die from a damn oyster?
I have, yeah. And I have actually someone get sick right in front of me, and the smell of them throwing up, it's one of the worst smells I've ever encountered.
Yeah, I think that is one of those things that will spread around really quickly. Never eat seafood if it smells bad, is another one I've been told. Let's go over to Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good. I'm a seafood specialist with Publix.
Okay. And, have you heard of this before?
Yes, I absolutely have. I sell shellfish every day. So if you go to buy shellfish and it is open, and that is dead. And those shellfish are absolutely still alive when you open them to consume them.
All right, so as you're eating these damn things, they're still alive.
Yes.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying, yeah.
I had no idea.
But if it's open, then it's dead, and that's bad, and that could mean you might have one of these things like this disease, this guy, or the bacteria.
That's correct, yeah.
And so is this pretty rare, though, what happened to this old guy?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got the warnings. You see them posted everywhere, no matter where you go, to get the shellfish. But yeah, it is still pretty rare. Everybody, you know, loves to have their oysters raw. That's typically the way that they're consumed. So,
all right, now correct us on the other thing, because I know we were back and forth on whether it's live when you eat it. What are the months that they say don't eat oysters, and why?
Now, that one, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Oh, you ever seen that thing? You're the seafood specialist, Michael.
You might have made this up, Sealand. You might have created this one.
I promise you, if you Google oysters months are, it's something
all
like
right.
that.
I believe you. Let me go to this trailer for this documentary. It's called My Neighbor the Rapist, that they aired on BBC. It's insane.
I've been trying to track David down. His ex-girlfriend might be able to help, but she's just dropped a bombshell. After walking her home one night, David attacked her.
He started to push me, trying to force me. I said, no, I don't want. I tried to close my door, and then he picked me up and threw me to the bed. After that...
Just take a breath. You understand.
I get this HIV AIDS after this happened.
Jesus. He talks to this guy. The guy who was doing the documentary knew this person when they were a child, and now he's out doing this in South Africa, and nobody's doing a damn thing about it.
I can't believe that David has raped again, even after I saved him from mob justice. The next day, I receive a call from David. He's heard that I was looking for him, and he's agreed to meet me.
This guy admits he raped 21 to 24 women.
Wow. Gave HIV.
I feel okay.
How many reasons?
Right there, he goes, how do you feel that you gave her HIV? And he said, I feel okay.
Have you taken them by force and slept with them?
Maybe 21, 24.
After all these people, 24 of them that you have mentioned, did you use protection?
No, I didn't use their protection.
Do you think you have infected them with HIV?
They know I'm HIV, so I want to spread that HIV.
He wants to spread it.
Do you feel good within yourself that you know, you're spreading it to other people?
I feel good because I can't die alone.
That's why you're spreading that. It makes you feel good.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, it's scary, man. You make me feel very scared.
I can't stay 3 days without sex.
Why not?
I'm powerful.
I'm powerful.
Yeah, I'm powerful.
What?
Powerful guy.
It's crazy. It goes on and on.
It's insane.
It's like an hour-long documentary about what's happening in South Africa with these people who are all infected with HIV and going around. It's just lawlessness on the streets. People killing each other in broad daylight on the streets because mobs are going after people. It's wild to check that out. My Neighbor the Rapist is the name of it on BBC. Let's see. Let's go to Rich. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, so I was calling about the oysters and the months with R thing.
You mean the thing that C-Lane totally made up? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's 100% accurate.
Thank you, Rich.
They're microbiologists.
Uh-huh.
And the idea behind it is that in those months with an R, at least down here in Florida, the water is still cold enough to have somewhat resisted the Vibrio, whatever it's called,
okay,
bacteria. It thrives in warmer water. So, yeah, you can totally, I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all that a 71-year-old man who may or may not have eaten raw oysters all of his life passed away because he's eating them in arguably one of the hottest months of the year in one of the hottest places of the country.
So this Rich, then, as far as you know, is absolutely the worst time that you could be eating this stuff.
Yeah, I myself pretty much wait until October, and I usually stop by about, honestly, I stop in March.
Mm-hmm.
No.
October to March, I go crazy on whether it's slightly steamed or raw, whatever the case may be. I mean, I love them, and I'll buy them by the bushel when I go up to visit family in Georgia on the coast up there.
So if you're seeing records that are, it's much hotter in Florida than it was 5 years ago, is that something that people need to pay attention to? If it's still pretty warm in October, does that mean we got to wait a little bit longer?
I mean, I can't, I'm no scientist. I can't comment 100% on that. I myself, being paranoid and not wanting to die from vomiting and diarrheaing myself to death, would probably hold off. Yeah, if it was like record heat wave October, I would wait until it got cool enough for me to feel comfortable. You know, basically, if it's cool enough where I would put a jacket on, then I would probably feel pretty comfortable going and getting some oysters.
What about oysters that were flown down from the north?
Good question. I don't know if the same bacteria live in the same water.
Yeah, but it's all.
I know that.
It seems like
there was a.
I'm sorry, Rich. It seems like it's all about, and I appreciate all the information. It seems like it's all about that bacteria, and it thrives in warmer temperatures, which makes the thing you were talking about, C-Lane, make sense with these months with an R.
Mm-hmm.
But then you even got to be careful outside of that. Look, this old guy probably thought he was just having a delicious oyster. Now the guy's dead, unfortunately. Back in just a moment, jury duty is on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio. 104.1.
Follow him long enough and you could be treated to a late night live stream with slurred words. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
calls coming on to text me. I need to be alone like the way you left me. You start calling, you start crying. I come over, I'm inside you. I can't find
you. Get your jury duty in just a moment. Still so much to get to on the show today, plus your dispatches, which we'll probably do coming up at 2 o'clock. You can send those in by downloading the app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. While you're doing that, let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with The News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm. DeWittLaw.com is the website, and the phone number is 1-800-DeWittLaw. You can call or text that. Don't forget. You put it in your phone and something happens and, you know, you're in the hospital or something, you got an accident that you got to deal with, you can even just text if you want to get some information across quickly to 1-800-DEWITT-LAW. Alternatively, send an email with your legal question to ask, ask@dewittlaw.com. You have a lot of choices out there. Trust me, this is the one you want to go with. This reality show here, if you guys watch this one, I used to watch it all the time.
They're
on a boat.
Oh, Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch.
This show is still on. I haven't watched Deadliest Catch in probably 6 years.
Didn't somebody die and or get in trouble for, like, child porn?
Somebody died. It was, like, the main cool hardcore guy. He died. And then there was a controversy because they showed him dying on the actual show itself.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Well, they showed, like, him falling down, and they showed him on the stretcher in the hospital and stuff. And that guy was a pretty big character on the show. And then there was another kid who died of an overdose. I mean, they've had a lot of problems. It turns out the people who go out on these crab boats and work in these terrible conditions, they tend to run into some problems. And now another one who is a pretty big character on the show, Edgar Hansen, they say. Reality TV fisherman Edgar Hansen has admitted to sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl, but he will not face any prison time due to a plea deal. Hansen is a co-star in the Deadliest Catch cable show. He assaulted a girl at a home in somewhere in Washington in September of last year. The 47-year-old pleaded guilty last week to fourth-degree assault with sexual motivation. Edgar, who is on the Deadliest Catch, assaulted her. That's back over what I just said. In a handwritten statement to police, he admitted to kissing the girl and touching her genitals. I committed this assault for the purpose of my own sexual gratification, he said. I'm very sorry for that conduct, and I have commenced treatment to ensure nothing like this assault ever happens again. The court records obtained by the Seattle Times, and they put that out there. So, still bad luck for the Deadliest Catch television show. The folks on there continue to get in trouble. The FDA is investigating, and changes may be coming to grocery stores very soon. And this is not the first thing like this we've heard or talked about on the show, but the FDA is going to crack down on the use of the word milk. They say an almond doesn't lactate. We're at a point where there's almond milk. There's like probably a half dozen alternative milks. Soy milk.
Uh-huh. Lewis Black has been saying this for years.
Well, what happened is finally the milk industry sees this as big enough of a threat. So they're lobbying the hell out of Washington. And they say, how do we win this battle? Well, we win this battle by making them completely change their business, and we make it so they can't call it almond milk anymore, because milk is determined on something that comes out of a mammal's nipples, or however they want to phrase these things. And when they do that, that's a huge hit to all these places.
But what would they call it? By comparison, you know, you would use almond milk for the same things that you would use regular milk for. So, almond juice?
I wonder if they could put, like, quotes around milk.
Or maybe just spell it, like, milk.
Yeah.
M-I-L-C.
That's what they do with chicken wings and stuff like that when they're not actually wings.
That's what they do with fake crab, K-R-A-B. Mm-hmm. They call it M-I-L-C-C, and it's done.
It's definitely going to throw them off, though. You get to a business like this, and somebody goes, whoa, hold on, M-I-L-C, what the hell am I buying here? And the consumers that aren't paying attention will be impacted by this, and that's exactly exactly what these folks at these big corporations seem to want. There's a lot of competition now, and they're responding to it. The body cam footage has been released. It's the most important story of the decade, perhaps. The pickup basketball game where there was a 911 call after a hard foul. Somebody requested the footage. It happened at an LA Fitness, and the LA Fitness had like a big gym where they had basketball court, and they were playing these little pickup basketball games. These two guys, if you heard yesterday, they got into a bit of a back and forth, and one of them said, all I did was foul him, and he called the police over a foul. The other one said, oh, that's not the case, and the police officer was going, what in the hell am I dealing with here? So here's the body cam footage.
The gentleman with the headband with a gray shirt on.
Finding out who he needs to see. Okay. Wild in the gym.
How are you?
Good.
What's going on, guys?
So this man pushed me in the back while we were standing on the basketball. All I did was make a basketball play into him like this, right, and sure, him like that. That's all I did.
He pushed him in front of the cop.
That's a basketball. It's called a basketball.
Brandon, you know you didn't do that. Admit what you did.
No, that's all right. I did.
Admit what you did.
Hey, let's start with this. You two know each other clearly.
This cop's like, what am I doing?
Is this something where you're one of our sergeants doing assault and battery? Is this just some heated basketball stuff?
I mean, I thought it was just heated, but I mean, I'm not going to have one straight down and elbow me in the
face. And I'm not going to take your pussies in the back either.
Okay. I know, but that's...
And then call me a bitch right afterwards, too. That was
ooh.
Ooh,
that's
ooh,
me like
the
normal basketball. That's all it is.
He's, I'm not going to take you
what
pushing me in the back
oh,
and then calling me a bitch afterwards. And the cop goes, this is just normal basketball ass, isn't it? What am I doing here? The two guys clearly were friends or knew each other. Things got a little bit heated.
That's ridiculous.
And the guy made the boneheaded decision to go, hey, let me bring the police into this. I also had the feeling the other guy maybe did a little bit more than he was willing to admit when the police officer got there. So it was interesting to see that, those two guys and the face-off. And then you had the guy from the gym in the middle, and the cop goes, look, this is not for me to make a decision. If he wants to press charges, we'll do that. If not, it's your decision. And the LA Fitness guy's like, both of you idiots leave for the day and calm down, and hopefully you can come back tomorrow and not do these stupid things anymore. Play basketball, and maybe don't take it to this level in the future. When we come back, we will get to those dispatches, I promise, and a church under fire for something that they're sending to the parishioners who go there. What is it? What's it all about? And why are people upset about it? All of that is on the way. Stay where you are. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Because today is a new day and another chance to give up completely.
This is what it's come to. Afternoon unemployed drinking.
Real Radio. Yo, yo. 104.1.
From the
We'd tell you to check out the app chat room, but those people are weird and mostly naked.
This is the News Junkie.
Speaking of the app chat room, hello, as always, to the folks hanging out in the chat room in the News Junkie app on their march to 5 million lines. Fancy Nancy, DJ Danger Dick. There's always some familiar names and new names as well, which I love to see. Mini Giggles 7, I've been seeing around lately. Invisible Man, Jewel 69, Disgruntled Paladin. Everybody who's hanging out in there, including Adrian Mama, who's been a fan and supporter of the show for a very long time, a friend of the show, in fact. So thanks to all you, and you can join in on the chat action. It's going around the clock. You can see weird stuff, get involved in weird stuff. It's all right there for you at your fingertips. And search for The News Junkie in the App Store to get started. Set up your account and jump right in. A pro tip for you. Some people go, I can't chat or send a dispatch. When you set up your account, you'll get an email to confirm your account. And if you confirm that, you'll get in and you'll be able to chat and send dispatches immediately, okay? Easy as that. In the fall, there will be some new Apple products. And I don't know how these websites have gotten so good at this, but they basically just predict absolutely everything that you're going to see. And 9to5 Mac has done that already. There's going to be three new iPhones. You got one with a 5.8 OLED, a new 6.5-inch, and a 6.1-inch, so that's three different sizes. That'll be great to pay for the app to be resized for, if that's the case. Updated iPad Pro models with Face ID and no home button. with an updated 12.9-inch version. Those are actually too big. Have you seen the biggest iPads that they have?
No.
They're gigantic, man. They're way too big. I like the regular iPad, not the iPad mini, but the big pro one or whatever they call it is huge.
I think and probably super useful for people like designers or graphic artists, illustrators. It's their dream come true.
Yeah.
But that's just such a unique group of people. Is it worth making that big of a product available for everybody?
Well, I saw somebody at the zoo in Washington, D.C., and I've seen so many people who take pictures in public with their iPads. Taking pictures in public with your iPad when it's like a 13-inch iPad, you just look like a lunatic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're holding up this gigantic thing, and you're taking a photograph on it. I get it. Maybe you don't want to carry more things around.
I feel like I see more foreigners
do that. Yeah, I think I see that as well. Maybe that's the only thing they bring with them on vacation or something. Several Mac updates include chip updates for the MacBook, the MacBook Pro, and the iMac, with significant display performance upgrades. And finally, the Mac Mini. I guess that's getting some upgrades as well, which is what I use those all over the place. And many more things that are on the way. Updated AirPods, AI power, blah, blah, blah. They leak everything out months and months before there's any announcements. And it's possible that there could be something that's a surprise. But I'll be honest with you. Since Steve Jobs has died, other than the facial recognition and it's a minor product tweaks, there hasn't been a big jaw-dropping thing.
But is there going to be with the rapidness of advancements in technology? I just feel like we're not phased anymore.
No.
As humans, we're just like, even when they come out with like the holographic FaceTime option, we're not going to be that impressed by it.
We'll go, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but it's not wowing me.
Yeah.
I miss Steve. Poor Tim Cook. No matter what he puts out, it could be the greatest technology ever. And you're like, nah, Steve didn't really. Steve could have done it better.
Yeah, it's the hardest shoes to fill ever. That would be one of those jobs where they go, hey, we want you to take over after Steve Jobs leaves or dies in the case of his life and career. And you go, you know what? I don't know that I'm going to do it. I don't know, because there's really no win there. On the other hand, you have your Papa John's situation.
Right.
Papa John's blows up in a disastrous explosion, saying the N-word during some conference call at the end. You go in there and save the day. That's a better way to take the CEO position. There is a church in Kentucky, a Baptist church, and some of the members of this Cave City Baptist Church, they're not very happy about the way they've been treated. They've been accused of letting God down.
How dare you?
Why? Because the pastor sends out letters kicking them out of the church and saying they've let God down if they skip too many days of church.
Oh, come on.
Which means I would have got that all the time because my dad skipped a lot.
I've been letting God down since senior year of high school.
The whole point of Christianity or of faith is that we all have let God down and will continue to, and that's why we're supposed to be asking for forgiveness or whatnot.
Yeah, this is his attempt.
The whole point is we let God down. You shouldn't be kicking him out for letting God down. You should be helping him tithe.
It's another way for people to,
like,
to
wait
rub
second.
Some whiskey on his gums.
Is,
come on.
Is this a church of babies?
When I look at these stories, I go, clearly this is a pastor trying to, I always say pastor, the pastor trying to juice more money out of his congregation.
Oh, 100%. He's pissed because he's not getting a whole bucket full of change and dollar bills and fat checks when they pass it around during Mass.
Yeah, and so he's sending these letters to him. It's like, we're disappointed in you. We're, by we're, I mean me and God. You've let God down because of all of this. Some details here, more about what's happened at this church that has the members pissed off.
The pastor of a Kentucky church sent a letter to members who hadn't attended for more than a year.
Shame.
Telling them their memberships were being revoked and that they needed to come back to the church to repent. Senior Pastor Ryan Browers at Cave City Baptist says he's doing what is necessary.
A lot of the people that the letters were sent to are not attending church anywhere, and this was kind of a wake-up call to them.
Who cares?
You've broken fellowship with God. You've broken fellowship with this church. You need to come back and repent and get your relationship right with
Him. Oh, this guy.
Though these members are being removed from the membership roll, church leadership says they they will add anyone back who calls and requests it.
Of course, because they want to scare you so you don't miss it, so you don't attend St. Mattress instead of your church for 1 or 2 weeks in a row, because they want to get those donations drummed up. Man, this is one of those things where I see, and there are so many, I want to lay this down first before I say what I'm going to say here. There are so many Baptist church and just churches of all different denominations that do kick-ass work in the community. They do work where they go out there and get their hands dirty, stuff that other people say they're going to do, say they fight for, but don't actually do. These churches get out there and feed the hungry and put in the work. They do. Then there's churches like this, where you suggest to these people, almost, you know, without flat out saying it, that if you don't go to church, if you miss and get one of these letters, well, you're going to hell. That's what grandma's going to think. Grandma's going to get the letter that goes, you've let God down. You know, oh no, I'm going to end up going to hell here because of this. They're not going to any churches, he said, so you can't fellowship with God. Thus stating that the only time you can have any kind of fellowship with God or be in line religiously is if you go to one of their brick and mortar locations, and when the dish comes around, you toss some money in that golden dish so that they can build on a couple extra wings.
What kind of church is this?
This is, it's the Baptist church that's called Cave City Baptist Church.
Cave City.
That's where this guy is a pastor. His name's Ryan Browers.
Is there like a reigning authority in the Baptist religion, Baptist church,
like a pope kind of person?
I was just gonna say,
like,
God.
When a priest messes up, they have to listen to the archbishop, or before that I'm forgetting all the terms I learned for the 10 years I was in Catholic school.
I think a lot of other faiths, Baptists included in that, I don't believe there's a hierarchy.
So they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I think they're Wild Wild West in
it. And not pay taxes.
And not pay taxes, which is a whole other thing. But this guy is sending these notes home to these poor people. And
that sucks.
You've fallen out of faith with the Lord. Don't want to end up going to hell, so better be here next week with a check twice as big as last time. A couple of dispatches. Here's ex-soldier.
I was just wondering about the red wine vinegar fiasco at that restaurant. When she put it up to her mouth, didn't she smell that it wasn't vinegar?
I guess she didn't.
I'm just wondering. I mean, it sucks that it happened, but pretty sure you would notice it's not vinegar in the cup when you go to smell it.
Yeah, with the hiccups and stuff.
Or even catch a whiff of it when you try to drink it. Just wondered. Ex-soldier out.
She's just assuming, and she's putting faith in the person in front of her, that they brought her what they said they brought her. And also, red wine vinegar, I mean, it has like a chemical smell to it anyways. It doesn't smell like
I just feel like
food.
There was probably a big difference, but if he just brings her a shot of this stuff, she's hiccuping like crazy, is like, hey, just take this. Before, I'm sure as soon as she swallowed it,
she knew.
It was, you know, bad news. But
I guess that's too late. It's just the moment that goes down, it's falling through you and doing damage.
I wonder if there's any criminal charges that they're going to put against them just for negligence, or, I mean, if you carelessly kill somebody or carelessly hurt somebody, even though you didn't intend it, you could still have charges put against you.
You could face criminal charges. They're going after him civilly, at least according to that story. So maybe they don't think they have a case there and they're trying to do something else. Here's Dizzy Liz.
Hey guys, I work in cabinets, and whenever we have to do safety training, there's always a slide with like a Mountain Dew bottle that may or may not have like paint thinner in it. Like, they're crazy about making sure things go in the right containers because of exactly that kind of story.
Dangerous.
Where a woman used something that was definitely for food and it ended up poisoning her. I just thought it was funny because all I think of is a paint thinner in Mountain Dew. Bye.
Yeah, see, they're trying to teach you the lesson. And this guy who was the manager of the restaurant where he accidentally gave the hiccuping woman oven cleaner instead of what he said he was going to give her, red wine vinegar to stop the hiccups, he didn't pay enough attention, I guess, during that presentation where they said, be careful about this, make sure you don't switch things up. It could be incredibly dangerous. And it was for that lady. She lost her stomach and her gallbladder, and her insides are basically completely and totally shot. Back in just a moment. Lots to get to, as I said, before the show wraps up, including a statue. Something weird happening to a statue that has led to a rash of news stories about this one particular one. Details are up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real. You're listening to the News Junkie. Junkie. Sean Wasson.
Get to some of your dispatches in a moment or two here, and a video going viral in just a moment as well. How did it go yesterday, Sabrina? I know there was something you were working on, you were trying to do, you heard about during the show, in fact, and you said, I'm going to try this out, see if I can get in the movie Bohemian Rhapsody by singing along to the song.
I don't want to necessarily talk about it. I could already feel myself getting a little heated.
How bad could it have gone?
It was one of the most frustrating afternoons I've had in a long time.
This is the thing where they have this new movie coming out about Freddie Mercury's life. And C-Lane found something that said, you can still get into the movie.
Right, like I guess they haven't totally finished mixing the sound at the end or something, and they're planning on taking a bunch of submissions of people singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, good luck.
To their phones.
You just go to a website, and then doesn't it show you just like a karaoke as you're singing the words?
Yes. Yeah. And it is just the beginning part, this right here.
Does this part?
It's slightly faster, which is just fine. But they've suggested, and it makes sense, to use headphones, the microphone.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have that available, put the volume very, very low because it would pick up Freddie Mercury's vocals.
It's playing him back to you.
Yes. Yeah. So you could follow along, same tempo, yada, yada.
So what didn't go well?
Well, I, first of all, did a lot of vocal warm-ups because this was important to me. Have heard me sing this song many times. The three of us have sang it together many a times. And then I go to listen back, and everything is completely inaudible. Every time I go, Mama, and it was just...
no.
So I try it again. And I this time, placing one headphone in, microphone is now wrapped up around a tripod.
All right, so you're working on your setup here.
I'm thinking acoustics, maybe it's the room. I try it again. Mama! And I try the volume down. I go to the listen back, and it's just Freddie Mercury. I nailed it, you know? Because once you can't see your result until you've gone through the whole song.
Uh-huh.
So I know if something was off, I would start over. I did this for 2 hours yesterday.
Oh, man.
And gave up. And then text you guys, like, this is effing BS. How are they going to use any of this audio?
What's it going to sound like if they're mixing together thousands of these people?
That's why I think that maybe they're not going to use any of it. I mean, I'm sure it's a great idea, but they have to give the option of uploading your own. So people that actually
put it together professionally.
They haven't said much about how they're doing this, like what the deadline is.
There's nothing about it. There's no about.
No.
There's no rules.
When you go to the website, doesn't it just start playing the song?
No, it just, it says like, here's your chance. Click this button. Allow the microphone.
All right.
Then you go and then you,
then you're off and
send
running.
It off. Yeah. I mean, that's all I could get out of it because I wanted to put, upload or maybe connect a microphone. Does anyone have a microphone I connect to my iPhone to make this work? If not, I don't know how they're going to use anybody's stuff.
Yeah, it seems like they've maybe run into some problems here, and I bet they just bury this in the credits. Like, so people now, and I noticed this at the movie theater the other day. This is a newer phenomenon, and it's directly related to the Marvel movies, I think. While they always have these scenes that are hidden in the credits, I was watching a movie the other day, and at the end of the movie, I get up, I go to walk out of the movie theater, and as I'm walking out, everybody's just sitting there. Everybody is sitting there watching the credits because they want to see the additional scenes that are in there. And they'll wait until the very last minute and then get off their asses and then walk out of the theater. So people will see it even if they put it there. I don't know what they're going to get out of this.
I know what you can do, Sabrina, if you want a good quality recording to send them. You use this spoofer extension on your Google Chrome that tells the website that you are indeed using an iPhone instead of using... Because okay. If you go to putmeinthebohemian.com on your computer, it'll say, hey, you know, this is where you got to go, but you got to visit this on your... See, now, I use
You can have your browser pretend to be the phone, you're saying.
Right now, my browser's pretending it's ready to add my voice.
Go for it. You got it?
Can you hear it?
Don't screw this up.
Come on, tap to... Oh, it's not doing it. Do the
tap thing. You didn't do a good job.
The thing. I'm still working on it.
You had it right there ready to go. That could have been your moment.
And it's not like it's the same pace as the other one, because I tried doing that, maybe just stepping back and reading the words.
Yeah.
Then I played it, and I was literally Freddie Mercury's Echo, which I know they definitely weren't going to use. It was going, Mama, and I was going, Mama.
Why is it faster?
I think just to get the job done.
I wonder if they changed some things because of the way Rami Malek sings, because he's going to be doing, he's actually doing some singing within the show.
Really?
I think. I don't know, maybe they sped it up because of that or changed the tune? Or...
I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, it should be cool.
I'm going to try one more time right now.
All right, you going to give another shot?
There we go, yeah.
Don't screw this up. Make sure the audio is good. Starts pretty quickly.
Okay,
right there. That's the crowd going nuts for you right there. It'll be an even bigger crowd at the theater if all goes well.
Mama. Damn it, I missed it. Mama.
Already butchered it.
Look on against she's heard. I'll show you the end result. You got 30 seconds.
There's something absolutely amazing about drilling a karaoke. And there's this woman, a young girl, in fact. She's a young girl, like maybe 10, 12 years old, who was on this video that's going viral, over a million viewers. Drilling, I think, C-Lane, one of the hardest songs to nail. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
That's a difficult one.
That is not easy. And she just drilled it. That must feel good. God, to sing like that on that level, and you know you get done and you walk away from the microphone and you go, bam, there, now it's your turn. I'm just watching Sabrina sing at the top of her lungs.
I'm going to do it on the break. I got the thing to work.
You got it working?
I got it working.
All right, give it a try. Well, I'm going to lose both of you here because she's...
I'll do it during the break. We got a commercial.
She's in the middle of an epic performance
Any
over there.
Way the wind blows.
I don't want to die. I'm almost done. But sometimes wish I could live up and burn it all.
It's going to be completely maxed out audio once again.
Better believe it.
Is this the end?
Yeah, so now they're going to put it all together and play it for me.
All right, they're compiling the audio.
Throw my phone across the room.
What's the website again?
Putmeinbohemian.com.
Putmeinbohemian.com. This is you. All right. Maybe it sounds good this time.
Mama. Damn it, I missed it. Mama.
I hope they put that in there.
Put a gun against his head. I'll show you the end result. We've got 30 seconds. He's dead. Mama.
Yeah, it's just not meant to. Your phone's not meant to do all those things at one time. You might have to go into C-Lane's booth and do it over there after he does his shot at this, because
we're at work.
If you're going if you're going to see the movie anyways, to sit in the theater and then maybe hear your voice singing that song back to you at the end,
yeah,
that would be awesome.
It's gonna be really awkward when like 2:56 rolls around,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Phillips is trying to come in the door, and Sabrina's in here with on-air lights on. She, I don't want to die.
I'm busy right now. I'm sorry. A Virgin Mary statue apparently weeping olive oil. They're launching an investigation into this. It's all happening in Hobbs, New Mexico. And in Hobbs, New Mexico, an investigator with the Roman Diocese of Las Cruces says the liquid coming from the eyes of a Virgin Mary statue appears to be an olive oil mixed with perfume.
Mm.
The statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church was discovered weeping by parishioners on May 20th. Whenever this happens, the Catholic Church dispatches people to where one of these miracles is taking place. And they take a look at it and they investigate. They go, like, they got chemical sets. They're trying to see what's coming out of the eyes of this statue.
Someone's like, that is olive oil.
Testing it out. There's a scent to it. So this must be some sort of perfume. and they're trying to figure it out. This says, so far the occurrences are unexplained, but they're looking into why this Virgin Mary statue is weeping olive oil. Of all the things to weep, I mean, at least you can make something of that.
Exactly. Get some balsamic and garlic bread.
Damn good.
Yummy.
Back in a moment with the final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Thursday. So the News Junkie on Real Radio.
He won't hesitate to call you out when you're being a little asky. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today I'm going to wrap everything up for a Thursday. Plus, in just a moment, how you could get free McDonald's fries for the rest of the year. And you might want to know that. Did you accomplish the task? Did you guys get it under control over there?
Still a work in progress.
I don't want to talk.
Man, I thought you made it so the computer was supposed to be a phone, and then it was going to sound brilliant.
And we nailed it. We were doing harms.
Well, can you imagine if you were the person reviewing those, and everyone came in was like, and then you had one that had a studio and a real good sound?
Mm-hmm.
You guys would be shoo-ins. You would be definite shoo-ins to make it to the top and get featured in the actual movie itself.
Someone Absolutely. Was texting and saying that the iPhone 7 has an audio glitch with recording on some firmware.
Oh, really?
So maybe that's the reason why.
It's not an app either. You don't see a lot of them that do it this way, where it's just a website. The website asks for your microphone, and then it's like playing back and recording at the same time. This is all, if you're just tuning in, an attempt to get in the movie that's coming out soon about Freddie Mercury's
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, but the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, which it looks really great, should be cool, but some technical difficulties in the meantime. How to get McDonald's fries free for the rest of 2018? I guess it's easier than one would think. Some of you are likely aware McDonald's specials has special deals through its app, Uproxx says, but many of us aren't willing to download and use it foolishly. Now they've got something to encourage you. If you download the app and visit your local McDonald's every single Friday, you get a free medium fries with any dollar purchase. So if you download the app, who wants a McDonald's app? You don't want that, really. You go, I don't need this. You have the app. You go in every single Friday. You spend a dollar on like an iced tea or something. Boom, medium fries for free.
It's worth it. I bet they're with the app. You get to get rewards and stuff, too. I'm all about that life. Like, I have the app for 7-Eleven now. I have the app for Starbucks.
What does 7-Eleven have?
They have deals and coupons, but also you could get points and then use the points for other stuff.
You could use the points to buy other stuff?
Yeah.
I'm wasting so much then. I go to 7-Eleven at least three times, four times a week. It's right downstairs from my house. All those points are just
gone.
Just
yeah,
flying
you should be scanning your card every time you go there.
I'm just losing all of them. Let's go to the dispatches. Here's Lizard with a very first ever dispatch. Thank you, number one, and let's see how you do.
I'm catching up on yesterday's podcast about that kid who posted all that crap when he was 17. And I'm thinking about my box of pictures that I have buried deep in my closet and thanking God we didn't have digital cameras or social media back then, because I've got some really incriminating photos in that box.
Well, now we'll never know. What are the photos of? What's happening in them? Are you still going to get in trouble? Why don't you burn the box? All these things are coming to mind. Here's Doghouse Dave.
Okay, you guys are killing me. The deal with the R's and the months, that was all before refrigeration existed, when the months were too hot.
Okay. Yeah, Doghouse Dave, you might be right on that, but that still means you trust the chain of refrigeration. That means you trust, like, every moment that those oysters have been kept perfectly refrigerated. And if you think about how well everybody does their job and how many people you encounter on a daily basis that suck at their job or that would drop the ball on something like that, I would rather go with the safest bet when it comes to eating things raw and not dying like the gentleman in Sarasota did. Now let's go to Captain Dano.
I'm a little excited. Just got off work. Got a beverage. Going to an ultrasound with my girlfriend. Finding out if we're having a boy or girl baby. So set one of those onesies aside for Captain Dano.
That's a big day.
Captain Dano.
Congratulations, friend. Good luck with all that. Here's Grab Ass.
I don't see the issue. I bought a half bushel last week, 25 pounds. Still got about 10 pounds left. Never had an issue. All raw. Put them in the freezer.
Oysters.
Good to go for at least 6 months to a year in a freezer. So
this guy likes his oysters.
I don't see the problem with it in the hottest part of the year.
People who love oysters, it's mega fans. You're either a mega fan or you probably don't like them. There's not a lot of in-between. There's nobody that goes, it's okay. They might like different preparations and stuff. And I know there's a place that does a grilled oyster in New Orleans that I've never been able to have. It's called Acme. And I can't even get in there. From the moment they open, there's a line around the block that's like 2 hours long. And all day long, it's like that. You can't even get in there.
That doesn't sound like a good time.
No, I'm not waiting in the damn line. That's just like when people wait for anything like that. You know, we've always talked about these lines of people just sitting there wasting hours and hours of their lives. I'll go somewhere else and find something good. But Grab Ass is a big fan, I guess. Here's 77 Tigger.
So this is my second dispatch.
Thank you.
Inviting you to come to my house for an awesome
vegan
meal. I feel like you really want to because you keep talking about vegan food and I feel like this should happen. So if you come over, I will cook you a vegan meal that will have things that you wouldn't know were vegan that will remind you of the food that you eat.
A mystery vegan
that
meal.
That isn't vegan.
Ooh.
And I think I can turn you over to the vegan side. So it's a challenge. If you come over and you like the food, then I'm asking you to do Meatless Mondays for 2 months, which I don't think is a big deal.
God.
And I want to see what happens.
Look, I'm game. I'm all for liking every kind of food. I've said that many, many times, and I stand by it. I want to like all kinds of food because that gives me more options, and food is awesome. It's a great way to make yourself happy in life. As long as you do it and within the bounds of, you know, treating yourself and your body okay, go for it and just go balls to the wall about it. However, we'll start with this company and the eggs that they're making. We'll start with just eggs and move on from there.
I mean, she didn't address anybody in that, so that could be open for anybody in the listening area.
It was out there into the air. So she could have quite a few people showing up at her next meal. If all goes well.
This chef that they want to send us to make us the vegan eggs?
Yeah.
Used to be celebrity chef.
Oh, yeah? Well, don't say used to be celebrity.
Well, no, she doesn't. No.
More like a D-lister now.
No. She used to work for, like be personal chef for different actors and musicians.
Oh, used to be a chef for a celebrity.
Yes. No, it's not like she's a Food Network cast-off.
Like Rachel Ray?
No.
Coming to the studio?
She's somebody who had a big career and then it just exploded
what
on
What kind
them.
Of celebrities?
Ari from Entourage.
Oh, okay. All right.
Travis Barker, that name ring a bell.
Yeah, from the drummer from Blink 182.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a fan of planes.
Some skills, yeah. Not a fan. You know what? Didn't I just see something about Travis Barker that he got in another accident? Or another near miss? Yeah. His kid was talking about it. Not a plane. Jesus, was it a train or something? I don't remember.
Or an automobile.
I don't know what it was. But it was something like that where Travis Barker and his kid were on something and they almost had another accident like that. Here's Jesus Saves Gretzky Scores.
Sean, Sabrina, C-Lane. In regards to almond milk, they have to call it milk, because who honestly would drink something called nut juice?
Mm.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Ask your... Never mind. I don't want to offend your mother, your sister, your girlfriend.
I'll do it.
Just attack him. He was the one who was here. Let's go over to Larry.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
When it comes to this almond milk and soy milk...
don't make the same joke.
They need to change their name, possibly. I say to keep their name the same. And just add underneath milk, substitute.
There you go.
And I would like 5 cents per case sold from each of the big almond milk, soy milk, etc. places.
Audio trademark. You've got it out there. I guess Travis Barker and his son got into a bus accident.
Jeez.
So first the damn near-death experience on a plane. You can't travel anywhere.
Bus. Train is next.
It's not safe for them to make their way around this planet.
I won't even ride in a limo with Travis Barker.
Yeah, the luck seems to be bad there. One more real quick. Here's Colonel Rudy.
Just kind of expanding on the whole deadliest catch criminal thing, because I don't know if you talked about it on the show, but there's actually one guy who committed a bank robbery, then went on deadliest catch, and then when he left deadliest catch and came back home, he actually committed two other bank robberies. So, you know, all kinds of upstanding young gentlemen on that show. I think that was back in 2007.
Yeah, they have been around for a while, and there's just a history of chaos behind them. The stories that didn't make the cut, the family of KFC's Colonel Sanders are defending him and saying that he wasn't racist. And a four-day work week, they had a whole test on this in New Zealand, and they said the four-day work week was a resounding success. So maybe that's something that it takes place soon. More companies doing that? Possibly. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Thursday, July 19th, 2018. Seven stories from around the web and around the world. Let's just jump into things, okay? How about we do that? Today I Learned this show.
Star Trek.
Star Trek is correct. The brother of Nichelle Nichols, Uhura from Star Trek, Star Trek TOS, committed suicide as a member of Heaven's Gate. Of course, that's the famed cult known for being fans of the series. And somehow he was involved in this whole thing amongst the Nikes and everybody in the same outfit, all in the bunks in that house were Uhura's brother and many other people.
Weird.
Today, on New Year's Eve, paramedics in New Orleans, Louisiana, are required to wear Kevlar-infused combat helmets for the 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after midnight because of the frequency of falling bullets, almost more than anywhere else in the United States. They said there have been more than 200,000 bullets fired into the heavens on New Year's Eve. It's a bad idea. Today I learned this movie.
Forrest Gump.
It's incorrect.
E.T.
Phone Home is correct.
It's like The Godfather.
E.T. was based off an imaginary alien companion that Steven Spielberg had during his parents' divorce.
Weirdo.
It's a lot more sad. He was upset by his parents going through this moment in their lives, and his reaction to it was to build an imaginary friend. Of course, in his head, E.T. looked a bit different, but he sketched him out based on his memory of this. So look what your parents' divorce can do, kids. It can lead to great things. Today I learned there's something there's something called Kancho or Dong Chim in Korean. And Kancho or Dong Chim.
Dong Chin.
It's a prank where the perpetrator clasps their hands in the shape of a gun and thrusts it at the unsuspecting victim's anus.
Dong Chin.
This is what they do to people. Even teachers who are teaching English in Japan, they will say this happens to them. The kids are like, ah, ha, ha, and they take their fingers like a gun, and they, right there.
That's a good way. So if I ever visit Japan, I will be accepted into the culture if I dong-chin somebody.
Yeah, or you might be dong-chin, though. That's the problem. It could happen either way.
Not again.
Today, the copper wire wound around a magnetic pickup on a guitar has an average of 10,000 turns on it. That is 6.8 kilometers of copper wire that they use on some of these pickups. And finally, Today I Learned the Sky. Prince is correct. Prince himself took guardianship of a 16-year-old fan. Taking her in to help her out, I guess. Well, not exactly. Before beginning a sexual relationship with her at 19 and marrying her at 22 years old.
Okay.
It's a lot of stories of rock stars doing that over the years. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phil's Files coming up next, followed by a Corbett Time with Tom and Dan, right here on Real Radio. Like my mother, she's never